Oh, yeah, it's Friday. I kind of forgot it was Friday. Thanks, Steve. Great job, as usual.
Oh, go on.
It's a happy family here today. Bill Leff came back for the first day of 2017, and that was it for him.
Actually, the second day. He took the first 2 days off, right? He was on here on the third?
Right. I guess we started on the second. I was very confused.
Started on the third.
Yeah, I was confused with this year's holiday arrangement. Because there was an extra day off, which was a little bonus day. But Bill put in his 1 day for the year and then had to take a week off. So, Jimmy Mac, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm happy to be playing the role of Bill Leff.
You know what's funny is you guys are very similar.
We are very similar. As a matter of fact, you have been absolutely haunted by toy collectors in your life. Bill Leff is a big toy collector, and when I worked with Bill back at the Loop radio station 100 years ago, he is the one who actually informed me that some of those little pieces of plastic sitting back in my mom's attic were worth something, so I raced home.
I could kill Bill for that.
My inventory of Star Wars action figures right in time for Hasbro to bring the line back and thus take a lot of my money, time, and quite honestly, sanity.
Well, here's the thing. Bill collects toys.
Yeah.
Period. It's a blanket statement.
That's
because
right.
There are very many things. You are more focused than Bill because you are just Star Wars action figures.
Yeah, you know, focused. I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. All right. So when Carrie Fisher passed away, and then a day later, her mom, Debbie Reynolds, passed away, yesterday was a private memorial. And Debbie did not want to be cremated. Carrie did. Mm-hmm. And so they're taking some of Carrie's ashes, they put it in Debbie Reynolds' casket, and they are going to be buried together. I would imagine Carrie's daughter, Billy Lord, will get the remainder of those ashes. That's how we're going to be, honey.
Is that right?
I do not want to be cremated. I do not like being hot.
That's and I don't like leaving any evidence behind. So that's interesting. There's like a sometimes a moral fine line you have to walk on when it comes to those sort of things. But you know, I'm one of those people, to each his own. And quite honestly, I feel comforted by the fact of when my soul leaves this moral plane, I shall incinerate what's left behind.
Yeah, but if you go first, then I have to. Do I have to adhere to your wishes?
Yes, you do. Absolutely, you do.
Do I have to put you in an urn?
No, I would not.
Because that would be freaky for me.
I would prefer to be in an Air Jordan. But like just a vintage Air Jordan. Just one shoe. But it has to be one of those old ones from the 80s.
The classic ones?
Yeah. And used, no. It has to be
a fresh one.
It has to be fresh.
No one's foot shall have stepped in that shoe.
That's right. And so I will then that way I can also just like pay homage to my love of Chicago sports. And
well, why wouldn't you go Blackhawks?
Well, just because I think the Air Jordan.
Yeah, I guess that is the big one.
It looks pretty good. And it's got the high ankle, so you can fill more of me in there.
I don't. We have a dog, Tiki, who is 10 years old, and I can't think of him passing, but big dogs don't live that long.
Right.
And then it comes a point, do you get ashes for your dog? And if you do, what do you do with them?
I never thought of that. That's really interesting.
I'm going to throw a lot of stuff at you today. I said we weren't going to talk Star Wars because you're not a one-trick pony.
No, I have a couple tricks.
A couple. Maybe. But I'm thinking about Debbie Reynolds and Carrie Fisher. And, you know, when you took that vow when we got married 19 years ago, I would like you next to me in the plot just so I can bother you for eternity.
Oh, I'm sure you'll still find a way to do that. I know you're quite capable.
Yes, I know. Something I want to bring up, and Steve, we have discussed this on the show. I am a really bad gift receiver. Over the holidays, and Steve, I don't know if you're like this as well. Jim, you are. We all kind of have what we want. Mm-hmm. And I'm very hard to buy for, aren't I?
You're really, really hard to buy for. And even it's more difficult to just get gift suggestions from you.
And maybe, Jim, next year you'll want to come to me because I think I gave her
best present
good,
of the year.
Pretty good gift this year.
What was that?
You remember it. It's on our dining room table.
There are a thousand things on our dining room table.
I don't feel as special now.
Yeah, we haven't hung it up yet because I haven't found something to replace the picture and use the frame. Remember the picture of the young Steve Bertrand?
Oh, yeah. That's how that got into the house? I was wondering about that.
Well, it's super hard to buy gifts for me because I get what I want. If there's something that I need or want, then if it's really expensive, I save up for it or I just go buy it.
I like those years when you have an emerging interest or passion. Like a few years ago, it was gardening. And
I still like gardening.
Maybe before that, it was jewelry making.
Still like to do that.
But there was nothing really new this year. And there was nothing I could put my finger on. Say, what was Wendy really into this year? I had a lot of difficulty with
but
that.
But here's the
because
thing.
I gave you an iPad last year for Christmas.
Yeah, that was the big
one. I haven't
seen
you since.
That's your
fault. I know you're into Candy Crush and other video games and also watching.
Boy, you make me sound like a well-rounded person.
Well, you binge watch shows on Netflix.
I've been loving it. But so how do you top an iPad? I think you guys did it. We'll talk about that later on. But we're going to take a quick break and we have to talk about the ashes. A dog's ashes or. I like the whole thing of Carrie Fisher. She wanted to be cremated. Debbie Reynolds did not. So some of the ashes buried with her mom. I thought this is a little Star Wars connection. And I just want to know what you do with ashes. You want to be put, if you go before me, into an Air Jordan, a classic version, just one shoe. What do I do with the other shoe?
Just one shoe. With the other shoe, you can save it for yourself. And then we can...
And then the kids can have that? Oh, nice collection of Air Jordans. Oh, those are just my parents.
Yeah, we could spend eternity in a Nike together.
Why would you want to do that?
Just do it.
Oh,
just do it.
I got it. All right, 312-981-7200. What do you do with ashes? That's my question. Kind of a lovely start to our show today. Bill Left's on vacation. It's Wendy Snyder. It's Jimmy Mack at 720 WGN. Jim, do you know if it's DeMar DeRozan?
No, I'm just a hockey fan, so.
Kevin?
I don't really watch basketball.
But yet I do want to be buried in an Air Jordan.
I know. So. See, that doesn't make sense to me. Not buried.
Not buried. Just
stored.
Stored. Actually, when it comes to ashes, though, I think people like to take those ashes and distribute them in like a favorite spot of that person. So, for
what
me,
about, what is it called now? Guaranteed rate? You want me to drop you off at home
plate?
Oh,
with the Sox part?
Yeah.
Well, maybe a little bit there. Sprinkle me around. Put me there. Maybe take me up to the Bay Area and throw me off the Golden Gate Bridge. Or
why do I have to wait till you're dead for that?
Fly me out to Hawaii. Very funny. Fly me out to Hawaii. Sprinkle me on Kaanapali Beach.
Oh, that would be nice. But then I'd have to take the vacation by myself.
Well, then bonus for you.
And what about the people like enjoying the beach?
Well, they wouldn't know.
It's just sand.
I'll bet you there are a lot of ashes of people on the beach in Hawaii.
Possibly.
I'll bet you we've walked in it, all of us, if we've been to Hawaii. And then I'm thinking about, you know, poor Tiki. He's 10 years old. I know big dogs don't live that long. I'm not wishing anything terrible upon him, but we had Declan the cat. We didn't get his ashes. Dale, what do you do with dogs' ashes? Hi, Dale.
Oh, hey, sorry. Our dog last year, 15 years old, Leilani, she passed away. We put her down. We got her cremated. And the place gave us a box, and we have her ashes in a little wooden box on a table in the kitchen.
So on your kitchen table?
No, on a table behind us.
Oh.
My wife has flowers. So we have her picture and a picture of our cat. And then her ashes in a box.
That's pretty sweet.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just a shoe box. It's like a decorative box, correct?
Yeah, it was a box that came from the cremation place. They gave it to us.
See, I just don't, I don't believe in cremation.
Or how about the people who take their beloved pets once they've passed to the taxidermist and they get them stuffed? So they can.
That would be weirder. And then I'd still be trying to give them snacks and stuff.
I'd rather have it cremated.
Yeah. All right, Dale. Well, I'm very sorry about your dog.
Oh, thank you. We have another one who's laying with me in bed now. So.
Perfect.
Oh.
See, some people are just dog people.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
Like
Dale,
like
thank
that.
You very much. Happy New Year. Mike, you're kind of combining these things. I'm a bad gift receiver, and, you know, we're talking about death because of Carrie Fisher and her mom, Debbie Reynolds, are being interred today. Mike, combine this.
I bought my wife a gift certificate for a headstone 1 year for Christmas, and I'm still alive.
How did she react to that?
Well, not well at first, but now she gets to take the dog to the cemetery to put flowers on the graves.
On her own.
We're not in there yet.
Oh, my God.
That is so funny. So this is a headstone for the dog or for your wife?
No, it's for us. And her and the dog go visit it and decorate the flowers and stuff, you know, when it's time.
I've never heard anyone going to decorate the grave before they're in it.
Oh, yeah. She figures she's going out to do the relatives. She just as well do hers, too.
Yeah.
But you can really freak out your aunt when she's over doing something in town and then says, oh, while you're at the cemetery, just to go put some flowers on my grave, too.
go pay your respects to the living.
Yeah. Aunt Twyla thought for a minute, and then she remembered the story. So
that is quite interesting, Mike. Thank you for sharing that. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year. Bye.
I don't like graveyards. I don't like mausoleums. I don't even like... I don't want to have anything to do with it.
See, I don't want to think about it, actually, but, you know, we're getting up there. Me before you, of course, but, you know, we got to think of that. Come on, don't you want to lay next to me for eternity?
Oh, man, we're getting existential here on WGN Radio.
A little
thinking bit. About our own morality, but no, I definitely want to be completely incinerated. I want you to flip the switch.
No, they don't let you do that.
Fire up the burners.
Put don't me tempt me. Maybe the day is young.
You can, you know, grill some burgers with me.
Yeah, that's gross. Hi, Nancy.
Hi.
How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you. I just wanted to let you know that several years ago, we lost our little fur baby, and we were devastated. We had her cremated, and we had decided that whoever passed away first, the one left, would put her with the person who had passed. And unfortunately, I lost my husband much earlier than we planned.
Oh, so sorry to hear that.
Thank you. And I wound up taking her little pouch. Her ashes were in a velvet pouch, and they were tucked in the casket with my husband. So she went with my husband.
And see, they were buried together like Debbie Reynolds and Carrie Fisher.
Yes, and I also have arrangements with the person who is going to be in charge of me years down the road. I have a dog now, so she's going to do the same thing for me with this one.
Although you think about it, Nancy, and there are a lot of people that have a lot of pets in their lives, pretty soon these caskets are going to be very crowded. Because if you had like five dogs...
But we have only had, the last one was like super special, and this one will be my last dog. So we know it's just going to be one plus one.
Well, Happy New Year to you, and I hope you have many Happy New Years to come.
Thanks so much.
All right, and I mentioned the private memorial service for Carrie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds happened yesterday. It was planned by Carrie's brother, Todd Fisher. You probably know all this, Mr. Star Wars.
You know, I did not realize that there were services held yesterday.
It was private. But here's what happened. And Billie Lourd, of course, her daughter, was there as well.
Yeah.
Per the Daily Mail, there were 125 guests. Penny Marshall was there, Meg Ryan, Richard Dreyfuss, Buck Henry, Candace Bergen, George Lucas, of course, was there, Gwyneth Paltrow, Meryl Streep, Tracy Ullman, Stephen Fry, Leah Michelle, Ellen Barkin, and People magazine writes, guests dined on the same menu Fisher served regularly at her legendary parties, fried chicken, collard greens, and cornbread. The only things missing were Carrie and Debbie, says a friend who attended the parties at the house.
I do know that Carrie enjoyed fried chicken. As a matter of fact, the one and only time I actually interviewed her, She was chowing on chicken tenders during the whole interview.
Was she really?
Yeah. She didn't mind either. We walked in and we said, oh, no, we'll wait till you're done eating. She's like, no, come in, come in. And sat down, just said, I hope you don't mind. And during the whole
interview,
she's chowing down. Well, I went to reach for one and she slapped my hand.
Yeah, you don't. You have to ask permission for that. Meryl Streep reportedly saying happy days are here again during the eulogy.
Now, of course, Meryl Streep starred in Postcards from the Edge, which was based on Carrie's book.
Based on her relationship with her mother.
Based on her relationship with Debbie Williams, yes.
According to Meryl Streep, by the end, everyone was singing, and then everyone was crying.
Yeah.
Bette Midler, this is a different story. Sorry. Bette Midler was not there.
Yeah, I was about to say.
All right, but interment is today, and they will be buried. And is your interview with Carrie Fisher on Rebel Force Radio, which we have at WGNplus.com?
Right. You can find Rebel Force Radio at WGNplus.com. And our special tribute to Carrie, it's called Carrie Fisher Remembered. And it was recorded on the evening that she passed away. And it was a really hard show to get through because... You know, for a guy like me, growing up in the 70s, I grew up, you know, loving Carrie Fisher.
As did a lot of guys.
And
girls.
And having Star Wars continue throughout my life and actually become part of my professional life. I've been around Carrie a lot. I've noticed her impact on fans and just on people in general. When she would walk into a room, Carrie would always challenge people when she would have conversations with them.
She was funny.
A true goal was to make her laugh.
Yep.
If you can make Carrie Fisher laugh, then you've scored a major achievement. I know Mark Hamill made a comment about that, very similar. And so,
Rebel Force Radio.
Rebel Force Radio, you can find it at WGN Plus, Carrie Fisher Remembered.
Thank you, Jim. All right, thank you to everybody that called. We couldn't get to all your calls. 312-981-7200. Bill F. is taking a he's taking a week off, and Jimmy Mack in his place. I'm Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. Thank you, Steve. It's Wendy Snyder here. Bill Leff is out. He'll be back on Tuesday. Jimmy Mack is my husband and my co-host for today.
Hey, hey.
And this is not like the first time we've been thrown together. We used to do a podcast called Snide Remarks Radio,
yes,
which we have not done in a very long time. And I noticed we got along better when we used to do that podcast, because if I had a bone to pick with you, which was pretty much five times a day, I would save it for the podcast so I was nicer to you when other people were listening in.
Well, it did seem that way. the thing about...
Because the Wendy at home who's mad at you and the Wendy on the air that's mad at you, kind of two different people.
Yeah, but sometimes that line could be a little thin. But what I liked about doing the podcast was it was an opportunity for us to air our grievances. And
it was our marital therapy. Come on.
It was very therapeutic. And at times it was cathartic when we turned the mics off and it was just like, oh, I love you. I love you. But we don't have that anymore. We stopped doing the show.
We should do one a month or something.
We probably should. What made it really interesting,
you know, just
exciting,
do it in your house. You don't have to even publicize.
Well, that's I see what he's saying.
Just because no one will listen?
No, people might listen. I'm just saying, if the benefit is there, just pretend.
You can't pretend. Come on, Steve.
You got to know that someone's going to be listening to it because, you know, like I said, then I'm nicer.
And it was just a good opportunity to get things off our chests. And what made it a lot of fun and
well, the alcohol.
Non-traditional, right, compared to sitting here in the beautiful Showcase studio is the fact that we were serving ourselves fresh margaritas.
Pretty much every show.
Every show. And that also helped open up the floodgates, and we were probably a little more honest with each other during those moments than we typically are.
But it's funny, Steve, you know, when you get in an argument with your spouse, I know you never fight with Sharon, ever.
He's quiet. He was quiet.
I know.
He didn't respond to that.
Ever, ever, ever.
But when, you know, it's funny when someone's around, you're nicer about it. You're more respectful. You should do that when no one's around, but sometimes, you know, the gloves come off and you get in a fight. So when you know somebody's listening to it, it makes me nicer. Maybe I should get back to doing Snide Remarks Radio.
Now, that's the thing about being in a family is that you always put on, a lot of times, a different sort of public face. You could be yelling and screaming at each other, but when you walk out to that restaurant, you're going to sit across from each other and be very polite.
Or stay on your phones. and not look at each other.
I hate that. I hate that. Yeah, yeah. I'm happy to say that our 14-year-old Dylan is very much a guy who wants the phones to be put away.
When
places
we're,
like the dinner yeah. table, at a hockey
and
game.
And that's a 14-year-old.
Yes, yeah, so I have faith in society for the future. But it seems like most people have their faces just buried in their phone all the time, and it does get to be annoying.
Yeah, but that's what you do. Like, if I'm driving somewhere, I can't have a conversation with you because you're not as quick as the 14 and 17-year-old is.
What do you mean by that?
Going on your phone and looking at things. You don't conversate when you have your phone with you.
Well, you know, I mean,
you're
I
busy.
Didn't, I
you're
didn't
busy,
say
man.
I was perfect. I mean,
I wish Bill was here for this because we all know Cher, correct?
Yeah.
Kevin, can you cue up that Do You Believe in Love? Because this was, I think, the first time that I heard the auto-tune was in her song. And Bill always comments that Cher has had a final tour for about, 20 years now. She would say, this is my final tour. But she will be back in action. Did you see, was it Silkwood she was in?
Yeah.
She was great in that.
Whenever anyone mentions that movie, all I think about is that
the
sequence
shower.
With the shower, and they have to get the contamination
yes.
off of them. And
she was great in that. I know she's been in other things, but check this out. I know everybody loves the Lifetime TV movies. They're making a movie about the water contamination crisis in Flint, Michigan,
right.
And Variety has confirmed that Cher will be starring in it. Isn't this the first time you heard auto-tune?
Ooh, I wish it was the last time I heard it.
I don't recall ever hearing it before that. In addition to starring, Cher will also serve as executive producer. Isn't Cher the one who sent the millions of bottles of water to Flint, Michigan when they were in that crisis?
Yeah, I did hear about some celebrities doing that. Cher was among them, I believe.
Yes, and unlike other Lifetime TV movies, the project is expected to be a hard-hitting, fact-based drama. Not your typical Lifetime movie. Mm-hmm. Lifetime for Women. It will explore the events that led to the toxic crime, will shed light on politics of the poor management, and the human element of residents who suffered and were ignored. Cher will play a local Flint resident whose family is impacted by the water crisis. So very exciting. Cher, her final tour is not final anymore, and she is back on the little screen this time. So good news for Cher. I know Bill's a big fan of hers, so I wanted to share that information. We're going to take a quick break, and we normally do a Tech Tuesday with Bridget Carey from CNET, but we're doing a Tech Week this week because the Consumer Electronics Show is going on in Las Vegas right now. And we're going to talk to Carl Prouty, who's a sales rep from Apt Electronics, and he's been seeing some pretty cool things. So we'll take a quick break and find out what new things are coming your way. I think this is the last day of the CES, so we'll find out what's coming up. It is Wendy Snyder, Jimmy Mack, 720 WGN. It's Wendy Snyder here along with Jimmy Mack. Bill Leff is off, taking a little time off, going to a toy show perhaps. I'm not sure. Thanks to the 10 people who have texted in at 312-981-7200 to tell me conversate is not a word. I know that.
Converse.
I said that. I know what it is, or talk. I want to tell the story that I saw on Facebook. There is a kid. This is from CNN's Money page. And there is a kid that needed braces, and he's 24 years old. I guess he's not really a kid. He wanted to save money, so he found a way to manufacture his own braces for less than $60. And what he did, he built his own 3D printer at home, but he opted to use a high-end, more precise 3D printer at his school, which is the New Jersey Institute of Technology. And he used this equipment to scan and print models of his teeth. I don't know if you've been to a dentist where you have to make impressions and bite into that gelatinous stuff that, you know, hardens up. Mm-hmm. He built one of those with non-toxic plastic, and he made himself the Invisalign braces, these little things that are clear plastic that go over your teeth. It takes longer for the braces to work because it's not the metal clamps like they use for regular orthodontia. But $60. He made his own braces, and it shows the difference that his teeth made in $60. I mean,
how does he know how to adjust to you know, apply the proper amount of tension and...
It's not tension. It be actually, it is tension, but you do it with... he used 3D printers, and he made these plastic, like, mouth guards. I don't know how he exacted which tooth needed to move.
That's right.
But the you can look it up. You can Google it. It's all over the place. Kid makes his own braces with a 3D printer, but his teeth are completely straight.
Wow. Ingenious.
$60. And if you do Invisalign, it's a lot more than $60. The reason I bring this up is because the Consumer Electronics Show is going on. It's the final day in Las Vegas. And a sales rep from Apt Electronics in Glenview, Carl Prouty, is back with us today. And how about that story of the 3D printer and the kid, $60, who makes his own braces and fixes his teeth?
Yeah, I have to get his number because both of my kids need him. So, or two of my three kids need him. So, I might look him up. $60 sounds like a pretty good deal.
I know, but now 3D printers. My nephew lives in New York, and he works. He used to work for Rockstar Video Games, and now he works for a 3D printing company. And the things he makes. My sister likes elephants, so he made this little elephant. You can't believe this comes from a printer, but now they're 3D printing cars.
Yeah, that was a really cool thing we saw yesterday. We were just walking along and we saw this kind of like a purple colored car that just looked amazing. And we started looking around to find out what it was. And it turns out it was 3D printed. So they are 3D printing metal frames for these cars and 3D metal bodies for these cars. So it's, you can kind of make your own car. It's really, really a cool concept.
You know, back in the day, you used to make a model car with the terrible smell of the model glue, and now you really can print your own car.
Yeah, it was. I couldn't believe what we were looking at. It was really cool.
All right, so that's going on at the Consumer Electronics Show in Vegas. This is the last day of it, Carl?
This is my last day here, so it's going to run through the weekend.
Okay.
We're leaving a little bit early.
All right. And what else did you see that astounded you? I still can't get over that 3D printing. It's the frames of the car, though. It's not the engine. You have to find somebody to build the engine for you and to assemble it.
Well, yeah, at some point it's going to be the engine, though, too. I mean, that's what these things are capable of. And actually, we were told that Peugeot, the car company,
yeah,
is actually going to be utilizing this technology within the upcoming years, couple of years. And then some other cool stuff. We stopped by Alpine and... with car stereos.
Yes. I was just saying, I hear Alpine, I think.
There's Android Auto, and these guys are the first ones to come out with wireless Apple CarPlay, which is really cool because you don't have to plug your phone into anything. You can just get in your car, put your phone down, and it syncs up through your stereo.
And automatically does that.
It automatically does that. So all you do is press a button, and you can tell your phone to make a call, send a text message, so you can keep your eyes on the road, so you're not ever having to take your eyes off the road.
Have you seen any of the newfangled appliances that they have out there?
Yeah, we saw a couple of refrigerators that are, it's amazing what they can do with these things. You can actually see inside of the refrigerator from the outside. So there's little cameras on the inside that'll show you what's in there. And then there's a tablet built into the front, essentially, so you can make reminders to tell yourself to make sure you pick this up at the grocery store. It'll send them to your phone. It's just helps me out a lot because I'm super forgetful, so this prevents me from getting yelled at by my wife.
Oh, Sid, did you hear that, Jim? Carl gets yelled at by his wife as well.
Listen, just because...
I mean, I love her.
Yes.
Of course, we all do, but my goodness, the abuse that we have to put up with. So.
Oh, stop it. But here's the thing when you go to the grocery store. Seriously, unless you have a list, you're going to forget something. So is there an app hooked up to this so you can kind of see inside your refrigerator to see like how much milk you have left? Or if there...
Exactly, yeah, that's
killer.
That's the idea behind it, is so you can see in there from the store, and you know, if you forget something, you can see, oh wait, I don't have eggs, I need to pick up eggs. So it's just a really, really cool concept.
So, you know, we have all mentioned that when is it going to turn into like living in the Jetsons time? You look back, you know, in the 50s and Time magazine, they used to have pictures of what the future would look like with the moving sidewalks. Mm-hmm. Everybody remembers seeing these
flying
pictures.
Cars.
Right. We're not there yet, yeah, but some of these technologies are really pushing us towards the future. Honda has something new. It's called the Unicub. Tell us a little about that.
Yeah, that was a really cool, that was a very interesting little project. So it was basically like a little chair that you sit on. It's probably about 2 feet tall, and it's got a big wheel in the front and just a little tiny kind of a balancing wheel in the back. And it's hard to explain over the phone here, but there's on top of the wheel, there's other things that turn. So you can essentially go straight, but then instead of making a full 90-degree turn, you can actually move side to side on this thing. And all you have to do is lean, and they move. They were super smooth running around, and they're self-balancing. So you don't really have to worry about falling off.
So it's like an adult big wheel, kind of?
Yeah, essentially, yeah, like an adult big wheel. It's a cool design. There's no backrest on it and no handholds or anything, so I'm not sure who all it's for.
Yeah, who would be using that?
If you're in a large area, if you're in a large area, like if you're working in a warehouse or something, you need to get from point A to point B quickly. It would be great for something like that because if you accidentally run into something, it's a small device, so you're not gonna really risk hurting anybody. So it's a neat design.
Okay, and that's the Honda company that's doing it. What's Hyundai doing?
Hyundai had some driverless car demos. So as we're getting further and further along here, there's more companies that are starting to kind of automate everything. So it takes the thought out of how you have to drive. So these are doing everything for you. They know when to brake. They know when to turn. They know when you're getting out of your lane. So it's all stuff that's kind of designed to keep everybody on the road safe, which is great because not everybody's always paying attention when they're out there. So this is a neat way to keep everybody safe and sound.
Carl Prouty on the line with us. He works at Apt Electronics in Glenview. Carl, the YouTube channel is Apt Electronics, and people can go see all the video of some of this stuff because it is hard to describe that motorized unicycle that Honda put together. But the videos are there.
That's right. Yeah, we've got them all at Apt Electronics on YouTube, and then you can actually get there from our website, which is apt.com.
All right. I finally broke down and bought a Dyson vacuum because everybody was saying that's the way to go, and they're very pricey. Does Dyson have anything going on at the Consumer Electronics Show?
You know what? I haven't seen anything from them yet. Because we were a little limited on time this year, we haven't been able to get to every corner. This event is absolutely enormous. If you've ever been to the Chicago Car Show, this is like 20 times that. So we're doing our best to get to everywhere, but it's so huge that it's hard to hit every corner.
No, it's understandable. I mean, they're 3D printing cars right in front of your face. I don't think you're going to be running around looking for vacuum cleaners.
Well, different strokes.
What's
for
the
different
latest
folks
in vacuum cleaner technology?
Oh, stop
it. Samsung had a little robotic vacuum cleaner at their display, but I think that's the only vacuum cleaner I've seen so far.
Dyson has other products too. They have like a $500 blow dryer. I didn't know if there were some other things.
Yeah, we have all their stuff at the store, so that you can definitely check out all that stuff right on our site or actually at the store. I unfortunately just haven't seen them here.
All right, and speaking, all of our appliances are kind of starting to break at the same time. Do you know the lifespan of an appliance? Because I think we're on, 18 years, Jim?
Yeah, I think you get to that 15 to 20-year window with just about any home appliance. You're going to start noticing its performance level is starting to drop.
Right, but Carl, is that because there are these newfangled things on appliances? Because it seems like our parents' refrigerator and freezer in the basement lasted like 50 years.
This is true.
No, my parents still have a freezer in their garage that I think is 40 years old at this point. But yeah, they don't manufacture stuff like they used to, so you really can't expect the same type of lifespan out of these. But on the plus side, all the costs are coming way down. So what would have cost $5,000 3 years ago now costs $2,000. So it doesn't sting quite as much if you have to replace that after 9 or 10 years as opposed to 15.
I guess that makes sense. And, all the rage, I love to cook, and I can't believe I wasted over $100 on a Peugeot. Actually, you mentioned that earlier. They make a pepper grinder, and it was black lacquer, and I had to have it because I thought it looked really cool on our counter. A lot of times you will get people wanted those Viking stoves because they looked industrial, but there are other companies that are making that type of look now, aren't there?
Sure, yeah. There's plenty of them. Wolf, for example, they make a great professional style range, Thermidor, Decor.
Kevin,
a lot of that stuff out there.
All right, Ruthie wants to jump in on this. We're talking to Carl Prouty, Apt sales rep from Apt Electronics in Glenview. You can go to apt.com. Ruthie, did you have a question or comment for Carl?
Yes, Yes, I have a brother-in-law that's a quadriplegic, and all he can move is one finger. And I was just reading in the paper that a Tobel Dynavax PCI Mini is a computer that they can work with their eyes. Did he see anything like that at the show?
Any computers?
There's actually, when we were here the first night at CES Unveiled, there's a brand called Tobii that has eye control software. And we actually had a laptop from them in the store last year. So that technology.
That's the one, Ruthie?
That's the one, yes. Yes.
Yeah, and you have it's that? Getting to be. We have that. We should still have that at the store, yeah. But they had a display set up here at CES this year as well. It's a really cool technology. And I was really amazed at how accurate it was able to track your eyes, your eyesight as well. It was a really neat thing.
Really? And is it still at the store? Is that something
I
that they gave
so.
You? Is that something they gave you to just demo, or can you can I purchase them from your company? From app?
We should still have them available. It wasn't a demo or anything that we had. That was an actual product.
It was
that
the actual
purchase.
One. Okay, well, then I'll check there then. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Ruthie.
You're welcome.
You know, you don't think of all the technology for people who are quadriplegics and can't do anything. A lot of us are just lazy and want things to happen for us, but what a great thing. Carl Prouty, app sales rep. You can go to app.com, and Ruthie should stop into Apt Electronics in Glenview. If there is something that someone's interested in at your store in Glenview, if you don't have it in stock, I'm sure you can get it for people.
Absolutely, yeah. We can definitely order just about anything. So, yeah, give us a call. Stop by the store. We'd certainly love to have you.
All right. Well, check out all the cool things. You can go to their YouTube channel at Apt Electronics, and you can go to app.com. There's a link through there. Carl, thank you so much. Safe travels back.
Thank you.
All right. It is Wendy Snyder here along with Jimmy Mack. We're going to take a quick break. We have news coming up, and then I have something that I would like to discuss with everyone, if that's okay.
Uh-oh, that look in your eye.
It's 720 WGN. Who's fresh and clean today? Steve, did you take a shower today?
Yes, I did.
I did not. Jim, did you take a shower today?
I did, and you know that.
Yeah, because you were running late. Jimmy Mack is sitting in for Bill Left today. There is a study that tells us how to have perfect hygiene, and I wanted to discuss that. Fresh and Clean, who does that song?
That would be Outkast.
I'm so unhip. I really am. Did you know that?
No, I'm on hip too.
All right. Well, according to science, how to have the perfect hygiene. Can we discuss this? Like, for instance, how often should you wash your hair?
How often? Well, you know, I tend to wash my hair with shampoo probably every other day.
Bertrand, are you in on this or no?
Every day. I do it, but I probably don't need to.
Nope. Short answer, nobody needs to wash their hair every day. Beyond that, it depends on your skin type. If you have normal or dry skin, once or twice a week should do the trick.
I think that's right. And I've been noticing that a lot of guys my age have had receding hairlines. They have big bald spots on top of their head. I think people are putting too much chemical into their scalp. And I think it's eating away their hair.
You're
this
turning into George Costanza
this
all of
true.
A sudden.
Or John Belushi is kind of shaking down there when he's doing it.
He's very passionate. Kevin, you agree with that.
Yeah, I've always been, and this just confirms my belief, which I'm
you and I are on the same page.
I'm kind of sighing a little bit of a relief here because I only wash my hair like once or twice a week tops.
Kevin and I talk about it because it's like, you know, I'll come in after freshly showering and I'm like, God, my hair is not looking very good today. And Kevin's like, the first day, it doesn't look good.
Yeah, never.
You do often say your hair looks best when it's dirty, is what you say.
Well, because I have really fine hair, and I don't mean fine like fine. I mean like it's very fine texture. And so when there's a little built-up hairspray and product in there, it gives me more volume.
Yeah, and it's not news to anyone who knows Kevin that he doesn't wash his hair every day.
Why do you say that? Why do you try to hurt people?
No, just because he tells people.
He really does. He doesn't try to hide it or anything. I will say it doesn't smell as fresh, obviously, but it looks good, and that's all that matters.
Those little flies circling his head, that's kind of weird.
No, because I do that too. That's terrible. All right.
Sorry,
guys. How often? Oh, wait, hang on. Okay. When I was younger, though, I used to have to wash my hair every day. You know, when you're going through puberty and stuff, that's something you should do once a day. But as you get older, I'm telling you, everything dries out. Trust me on that one.
Mercy. We're not going to go into a PSA,
all right,
so, are we?
No.
Okay, good.
All right, how often should you brush your teeth? And now I'm asking all of you to be honest. Listeners, you can jump in as well. 312-981-7200. Dentists have always told us brush twice a day, correct?
Yes, for 2 minutes at a time.
All right, I don't brush twice a day. It depends.
And how long do you brush your teeth? About 30 seconds?
Probably not as long as I should. I floss regularly, which now they say flossing is kind of unnecessary, but I don't believe that.
That's not true. Flossing is totally necessary.
I know. I totally agree with it. Bertrand, do you brush your teeth twice a day? Oh, he doesn't.
He's washing his hair right now. He had to step out. It's time to wash the hair again.
Because here's the thing. All right, let me just read. This is according to science. This isn't like my opinion. The American Dental Association recommends you brush twice a day for 2 minutes. Boy, good. Did you just go to the dentist?
I did, as a matter of fact, and I'm going back because I have to get a new cap. And my dentist, Dr. Paul Ledone.
He's been on the show.
Dr. Paul Ledone is a great guy. Been
right,
going
to
him
point.
For 20 years. He always wants to give me a tooth tattoo with my caps. And I do hair work. I got hair right there on my back molar.
And what is it of?
It's the symbol of the Rebel Alliance. The symbol you see on Luke Skywalker's flight helmet when he blows up the Death Star.
And thank God you got that, because you will make identifying dental records much easier.
That's why they have them. Is honestly,
get
for like fighter pilots and so, for pilots, they get
seriously?
Those just in case they find
that's
themselves.
That's all that's left.
Yeah, the tooth is all that's left. But then I have another opportunity. I'm getting a cap here. And
on your front tooth? That would look stupid.
Right next to the other one, right
okay.
there. But I just fear that you're going to see it when I smile and it's going to look like a cavity.
Remember
so
when
I'm
Madonna got
that
gold tooth and it looked like she had a piece of corn in the front of her mouth?
That never looks good.
Yeah.
Unless it's Mike Tyson.
No.
Who can do whatever he wants.
The American Dental Association recommends that you brush twice a day for 2 minutes, although they don't specify what time of day these brushings should happen. This is my whole point. If you I brush the first thing when I wake up. That's
it wakes
when I brush
me up.
Yes, because of the minty fresh. So you brush your teeth when you wake up. But now people say you should brush your teeth before you go to bed. To me, isn't that... I know that there are things living in your mouth when you're asleep, and especially if you have your mouth open, you know, bacteria gets in there. I get it. But isn't it like it should be every 12 hours. If you go to sleep and brush your teeth and then brush them when you wake up, what about after dinner when you have food that you've eaten?
It's good to brush your teeth right before you go to bed because you have a whole day of food in your mouth. So it's good to brush your teeth because then you get whatever residuals might be there before
you brush your teeth before
really
bed?
Settle in and sometimes, not always.
I don't.
I tend to floss more than I do brush in the afternoon or evening. But I try to remember to, but sometimes you're just so tired you just want to go to bed. You don't want to have to do one more chore before it's bedtime, so you just pass out. It's good to brush your teeth in the morning, though, because there is some weird bacteria that forms in your mouth while
plus
you're sleeping.
Morning breath. Come
and
on.
Morning breath, and it does wake you up. It's an eye-opener, at least for me.
All right, when's the best time to put on antiperspirant or deodorant?
I typically do so after the shower.
Kevin, we went through this before because... we wondered, Bill keeps deodorant in his drawer here at work in case he forgets to put it on.
Well, that's a problem.
No, why? He's just planning ahead.
I guess.
But I
smart,
say if you
yeah.
forget to put it on that day, what's the big deal? We found out that antiperspirant kind of clogs your pores so you don't sweat. Deodorant makes you not stink. And Kevin, you have found that the combination of antiperspirant and deodorant is not good.
No, I only use deodorant. I sweat more with antiperspirant for some reason. I know it sounds crazy, but I swear.
And we have two teenage sons. Mm-hmm. And I always am very anal about, it's got to say antiperspirant and deodorant. Mm-hmm. It has to be the combo. But now Kevin's saying deodorant makes you sweat less and of course you smell better.
Maybe I'm just an anomaly.
I use a handheld blowtorch and I sort of cauterize my armpit so it just completely stops all moisture. My armpit is like a creme brulee, honestly.
That's a visual.
If you want to take a come and take a look, Kevin. Come and get a good
clip. We have the interns for that.
We don't have interns. What are you kidding? All right. Well, according to science, the ideal time to put on antiperspirant or deodorant is right before you go to sleep.
Interesting. Why?
That way, if you're using an antiperspirant, mm-hmm. it has time to close your armpit sweat ducts before they have a chance to get sweating in the morning. Most last at least 24 hours, so no worries about not making it to the end of the workday. So the best time, according to science, is to put your antiperspirant and deodorant on before you go to bed. This is from Business Insider. We have more of these hygiene tips. Hi, Gene. And we will continue next. You can jump in, 312-981-7200. It's Wendy Snyder. It's Jimmy Mack at 720 WGN.
Don't let your meat loaf.
Oh, rubber ducky, you're the one. You make bath time lots of fun. Rubber ducky, I'm awfully fond of you. Bo-bo-bo-dee-o.
I can't believe I remember all the words to that.
This bump works on two levels because we're talking about bathing, right?
Yeah.
And you mentioned armpit ducks.
It's a different duct. You are really good. Really good. All right. It's Wendy Snyder here along with Jimmy Mack, my better half, my other half, let's just say.
That's right. And
according to science, we're going over how to have the perfect hygiene. Kevin, by the way, a lot of people are texting in and saying they completely agree with you. Antiperspirant makes them sweat more. I've never really heard of that, but we should try that. Maybe you should start using just deodorant.
Have you ever tried applying antiperspirant to other spots of your body outside your armpit?
Why?
Just in case you're kind of sweaty in certain areas?
No. No. All right, how often should I shower? How about this? This will be good for teenage boys everywhere. Most of us shower too much. Dermatologists told BuzzFeed that we only need to really shower once every 2 to 3 days. I don't know about that.
I get a little gnarly after
Well, it just depends. If you've worked out, if you've done something where you sweat, then definitely. But it depends on where you live and how often you exercise. As for the morning versus night debate, that depends on a lot of factors. But if you're prone to oily skin, it might be ideal to shower at night.
Interesting.
God, every 2 to 3 days. How often should I floss?
Oily skin at night, sailor's delight.
No, that's red skies at night.
Oh.
Sailor's delight. Very good. How often should you floss? The American Dental Association recommends flossing once a day, but back in August of this year, and we had our dentist, Paul Ledone, on, who said he kind of agreed with the fact that there's not that much effectiveness of flossing because it's never really been researched, which I was surprised that was his take on it. Flossing might not be necessary, but I get those little picks with the floss already stretched out. I do it on the way to work every day.
Yeah, that's a good
And I do not throw them out the window.
Have you guys ever used the water pick before, the one that shoots the water into your mouth?
Yeah, when I had my wisdom teeth out a million years ago.
I got one of those for Christmas, and I'm still trying to get used to it without shooting water all over the place or gagging myself, but it seems to be working.
Yeah, those things work well, but then, boy, that's a lot of work. Do you have an electric toothbrush too, Ryan?
I do, as recommended by my dentist. It's done wonders.
No, that makes a difference.
It tickles. I'm very ticklish.
Let me tell you something. I received a new Oral-B toothbrush.
Oh, thank God you said Oral-B toothbrush.
An electric toothbrush for Christmas. And it's got the weirdest function. And I don't
Pulse?
Know if I'm going to keep it because it's
annoying.
Well,
you can't return it now.
It has a big red light on it that is some sort of pressure sensor. So whenever you touch it to your teeth, the red light starts flashing. And when you wake up first thing in the morning and you're brushing your teeth and you kind of have your eyelids are at half mast and you're barely awake, the last thing you want is an annoying red light
like
flashing in your face. What is the purpose of that? I know I am applying pressure to my teeth. Why do I need a red light to flash in my face to tell me it's happening?
Did you just see me give him the calm down thing?
You're turning into
Hochberg.
I was just going to say, you guys need to hang out.
I'm turning
he
into
does.
Hochberg.
That's his problem. You're Hochberging on us.
Don't
well, you are. Calm down. You said that brushing your teeth helps wake you up in the morning. So if that red pulse is there, it just assists in that.
It's annoying. And it serves no purpose.
Put a piece of duct tape over it.
Well, my kids have it where you hit the button when you start brushing and it's green, and then after 2 minutes is up, it turns red, so they know when to stop brushing, which is good.
I like the kids' toothbrushes also that play music. when you
a little bit of Bieber in the morning
and yeah,
get you going, yeah.
So you hear and you hear it through your teeth somehow.
It is. It's crazy. You hear it.
I don't
like
that.
Pulses into your jaw. It's crazy.
Yeah, you guys like that?
Well, if they made a toothbrush that would play Led Zeppelin, I would be down with it.
Talk to
the new
Jimmy
WGN
Page.
App does that, by the way, if you chew on your phone.
All right, who uses mouthwash anymore?
I do sometimes.
A dentist told me to use this special kind, so yeah.
Dude, how long are you like in this, the bathroom in the morning?
I know, sometimes I'm almost late for the train because I got to brush my teeth for 2 minutes and water pick and do all this stuff, but I went in and they said your teeth look great, so I guess I'm just going to keep on keeping on. But
right.
They made me get a prescription toothpaste. It was $22.
See how excited he's getting now? I'm not the only
but
one.
But it's working, so I guess I can't complain.
I haven't had a cavity in years, so something I'm doing is working, too. How to have perfect hygiene. According to science, if you're going to use mouthwash, according to the UK's National Health Service, the UK, they have bad teeth over there.
That actually is a fallacy. I have friends who live in London, and they spend a great deal of money to make sure that
they have
their
to work
teeth
harder.
Look good. Yes.
All right. Using a mouthwash containing fluoride can help prevent tooth decay, but you shouldn't do it right after brushing your teeth. When do you do it, Ryan? Right after brushing your teeth?
When I use it before. Am I supposed to use it after?
It's a lot more optional than brushing your teeth, and not everyone needs it. It says you shouldn't do it right after brushing your teeth. When are you supposed to use mouthwash then? They don't go
I
on to say
I use it before. Maybe I'm wrong on that. I can't spend 10 minutes doing my teeth. I'm sorry. I think 5 minutes is long enough.
Here's a pro tip. When you're done with the mouthwash, swallow it for a little bonus. Yeah, there's a little bonus there.
Causes ulcers.
Get you through the day.
All right, Judith is on the line. Judith, you know about the strobing red light that is driving my husband nuts when he uses his toothbrush every morning?
I certainly do, because I wish I would have had a strobing red light years ago. I was so thrilled with an electric toothbrush and the water pick type thing. And I loved seeing all the little particles come. And I really used a lot of
I know
pressure.
What you mean. It's really gross, but it's not in your mouth anymore.
Right?
Yeah.
But here's the thing. What happened was the pressure from that pushed bacteria and food and stuff under my gums on the back molar. And I got a horrible infection, and that tooth had to be removed. And that's why they tell you, you know, that I didn't have the pressure thing. I stopped using them after that. But that's one of the reasons that I think it has the little red lights telling you.
So you're
you,
pushing
hey,
too
you know
hard?
What? You're going too hard, and you can actually make your gums recede. You can push stuff up under your gums, all depending on what shape your gums are, you know.
So if you're doing it right, you won't see that flashing red light.
I am assuming so. Like I said,
less
I have
pressure,
never had
Jim.
That, but it's, that was the first reaction I had. I said, I got to call right away.
I'm so, glad you did. Thank you, Judith.
Avoid over-aggressive brushing with your electric toothbrush.
Even with a regular toothbrush.
Bacteria under your gums. That's terrifying. But I'll tell you what, that light starts flashing. I mean, if I touched a feather with it, it would start flashing. I can't understand why.
Did you read the instructions?
No.
God, what is wrong with
people? Also, my electronic toothbrush has Bluetooth capabilities. I don't know what I need Bluetooth for to brush my teeth, but apparently I do. Bluetooth, I get it. I guess if I use it, my teeth will turn blue. No.
I don't know. And finally here, according to science, I got to do two more really quickly. How often should I clean my glasses? You wear glasses.
Yes. I do get criticized because I will let them get kind of dirty and smudgy.
If somebody can see that, it's time to wash your glasses. According to Optometry Australia, so long as it's regularly, you should be in good shape. Ideally, regularly means before they get so smudgy you can't see. God love Bill Leff, but Kevin, we have seen him. Bill wears like cheap Walgreens reading glasses when he's here, and sometimes there are 15,000 thumbprints on them.
Not even that, just like they're always so
and they're crooked.
Yeah, like banged up. What does he do to those?
I don't know.
And he always loses them.
He does lose them. When it happens, when your glasses get really smudgy, whatever you do, don't use your shirt. Bill also uses his shirt. He spits on his glasses and then uses his shirt.
I just use my shirt to clean my glasses.
Well, you don't need a fancy spray like a lot of the places tell you to purchase, which I have purchased every time I get new glasses. Just dishwashing soap and some water, but be sure to rub it off with a clean cotton cloth.
A clean cotton cloth.
Yeah, tough to say. All right, we have to take a quick break. We've got news coming up, and then we have a return guest on the show, Jim. It'll be very exciting. Adam Kimball is a local guy, not anymore, though, and he was trying to run across the country, and he was trying to break a world record. He was on the show. We have an update on that. We'll talk to him after the news, which is coming up next, 720 WGN. All right, guys, we have the real-life Forrest Gump on the air with us right now. Adam Kimball joining us. Adam, you've been on the show before. We talked to you, what, about a year ago? You were attempting to run across the country from California to New York in 45 days. How'd that go for you?
That didn't go as planned. I ended up crossing the country. We ended up finishing in Tybee Island, Georgia, instead of New York due to some injuries, and it took 60 days instead of 45. So. Different type of success, but not what I had initially envisioned.
All right, but still, you ran across the country. I don't care how many days it took you. and you quit your job and did that?
I did, yeah. My wife and I actually, we quit our jobs in 2015, took some time off to travel, and then when I came back, I took on that challenge to run across the U.S., and since then I've been fortunate enough to have the opportunity to do a lot of motivational public speaking and various schools, businesses, churches, and I've really taken a liking to that, and that's sort of the focal point of my career at this point.
All right. Well, I like to think having you on our show helped catapult you to this next step in your life. You're going to be featured on a new survival show. It's on the Discovery Channel. It's called The Wheel, and tell us about this, Adam.
Yeah, so The Wheel is an incredible new show. It airs on Discovery a week from today, actually. And it basically follows six different contestants, myself included, attempting to survive in up to six different eco zones, different microclimates that present various dangers and challenges. And if you are to make it through all six, it's a total of 60 days.
Oh, my God. Why are you doing this to yourself, Adam?
Well, that's kind of the beauty of it is there is no grand prize. So it's sort of really all about what's motivating each individual person to stay out there through struggles with eating and the weather and whatever other challenges may come up. But for me, the focus of my motivation was a really, really great friend of mine. His name is Mark Smith. Earlier in 2015, almost a little less than a year ago, he was diagnosed with stage 4 brain cancer. And so he was my fuel for the fire burning on the wheel.
And he had been given a pretty bad diagnosis, a short time to live.
Yes. When when he first was diagnosed, the what the doctors told them was he had between 6 and 16 months to live. He had stage 4 brain cancer. It had spread to his spine, and so it was a very, very serious matter. And so I just knew when I was going on the wheel that I wanted to take it, that opportunity to try to inspire and motivate Mark in a different way. He had his own battle, and I wanted to take this battle upon myself to use it as a way to hopefully encourage and motivate him in his own battle.
So to show your friend Mark that he's not the only one fighting for a challenge and for his life, basically, what kind of training did you do for this particular show, The Wheel?
You know, that's the other thing about The Wheel is that all the contestants are amateur survivalists, and amateur might be a little too good of a compliment to me. I came into this with little to no survival skills. I love the outdoors. But,
were you a Boy Scout?
I was not. My brother was, but I was not. I like to go camping, but that's about the extent of the outdoor skills that I had.
Oh,
so,
you're just like me. I love to be outside, but I'm not an outdoorsman.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, I love going on hikes. I love exploring the outdoors. I'm an ultra runner, as you know, so I love doing trail races, but this is a different type of outdoor experience. And so I tried to do everything I could. Actually, I consulted with my father. He grew up on a farm, and he's one of the best outdoorsmen that I know. So I tried to garner as much information from him in a short amount of time as I could.
All right. How hard is it to start a fire, and what did you use? Do you have a flint? Can you really rub two sticks together and make a fire happen?
Making a fire is a lot harder at times than you might think, at least for me. But yeah, so the way the show began was each contestant was given a survival pack that had a limited amount of items in it to help you in each zone that you went to. And so one of those items was a flint striker. And so that was very, very useful in helping to get fire started, because the rubbing sticks together thing definitely would not have worked for me.
I tried that when I was a kid, didn't you, Jim? You'd have leaves around and you'd rub two sticks together. You could get like a kind of a smoke going, but I never actually got a flame. Yeah. Then I pulled out my Bic lighter and we were good to go.
She's a true survivalist.
Yeah. It's funny that you say that, because I was praying for a Bic lighter every day that I was out there.
Hey, let me ask you a question, Adam. You certainly have tested your endurance by running from California to Georgia. Where'd you start
New York.
Off? Oh, I thought he said he stopped in Georgia.
But you continued, correct?
No. We finished in, we just made it to Georgia where the Atlantic Ocean was. And
I'm sorry.
Yeah, we rerouted, yep.
So where did you start in California exactly?
I started in Huntington Beach.
Oh, so you were in Southern California. And so you jogged across the country. Give me an example of, like, the wackiest thing you must have seen while running down that road. Because I know if I go on a 5-mile nature hike, I see all kind of crazy stuff. You must have seen a ton of wacky events happening as you were out there running. What's something that really stands out in your memory?
You know, there's a clear winner in this category. When I was in New Mexico, very, very early in the morning, I was running with one of my friends, Clayton, and we all of a sudden we were approached by a police officer. He rolled down his window and he asked, you know, where we were going, where we were headed. And then he asked us if we had seen two other people out on the road. And, you know, our first response was, are you sure? Are you asking about us or two different people? And we come to find out that earlier that morning, this was about 5 a.m. and maybe an hour prior to that, two prisoners were being transported from one prison to another, and they escaped the vehicle.
Oh.
And so they
did
were
you run faster than Adam?
Yeah, you know, when I looked back at the splits, I had some really quick miles that morning.
All right, and you know our producer Kevin Richter. You guys went to high school together, is that it, in Shanahan?
Yes, that's right. Yep.
All right, and I think your aunt or your uncle has just texted us. Adam is my nephew, and the real deal. You would love him, already do. And he said, ask about your friend Mark. They are so proud of you, and we heard about your friend Mark, and we look forward. Obviously, this is finished, and you can't tell the outcome, but we go to discovery.com. You can go to Discovery or your website, adamkimball.com, and watch you, is it perform? I guess survive on the wheel.
Yeah. That's right. Yep. 9 p.m. Central Time next Friday, a week from today, is the premiere of the show.
Can't wait to see it. Hope you did well. And if people want to book you because you're a public speaker, an ultra runner, what's the best way to get in touch with you?
AdamKimball.com.
Awesome. Good luck. Continued success, and great to talk to you again. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well. Thank you guys so much.
And a quick break, and I want to talk about, I am a very tough gift receiver, but I got the perfect gift for Christmas this year. We'll talk about that. Ryan Burrow is also monitoring what's going on upstairs.
We got within 0.37 points of 20,000, and then it backed down. So we've got the balloons ready. We've got the cake, and we're just waiting to hit that 20,000 mark. I don't know what happens when we hit it, but it's going to be explosive.
All right, stay right here.
Huge.
It's huge. 720 WGN. All right, Bill Leff taking the week off. He'll be back, I think, Tuesday. Is that correct, Kevin? Coming up later on today, Mike Toomey from WGN-TV Morning News will be filling in for Bill Leff. Right now, it's my husband, Jimmy Mack. Thank you for coming today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, maybe never again.
What?
I'm
Why?
Kidding. Where
did this go wrong?
It did. It didn't.
What did I do?
All right. We've talked about this on the air, and I am really a hard person to buy a gift for.
Extremely,
I really am.
Yeah. Really
and
hard.
There was one year, and I'll bring this up, that you asked me what I wanted. We're a family of lists. Give lists of what you want.
Yes.
So I try to give different items to different parts of the family, because there are your parents, there's my family. And one year I wanted a wok, because I was into making fried rice, chicken fried rice, beef fried rice. I like doing it. easier in a wok than a skillet. So I said that I wanted a wok for Christmas, but I put that on the list that I gave your mom. Mm-hmm. So your mom gave me a wok for Christmas. And then I believe later we opened up a gift and it was a wok. And I said, I already asked for this from your mom.
I didn't know you had asked anyone, and I had that earmarked for Christmas that year.
That's when you have to discuss amongst your family, like, what are you getting, Wendy? I didn't give you the wok on the list. So it was rude. I admit it. I should have just said, oh, thank you. I said, is there any way you could return it? You said, yeah, I got it on Amazon. And then you left it in the trunk of the car for, what, a year? And now it's in the basement?
Well, just in case I had any emergency roadside walk emergencies.
If your tire got flat and you had to walk?
If I had to walk, yes.
I'm good.
You certainly gave me my walking papers that Christmas.
And then, so last year you didn't know what to get me, and you got me an iPad, which I absolutely love. And our youngest son, Dylan, you didn't tell him about it, and he was very offended. You thought he was going to break the secret.
I didn't want him to have the burden of responsibility of maintaining a secret, because I thought he would just be so excited he'd have to tell you.
Well, who turned out to have the best Christmas gift idea this year?
For you, it was definitely Dylan. As a matter of fact, Dylan was the only one who had an idea for you, because you are extremely hard to buy gifts for.
Kevin, do you know those videos? And I think we've watched them in the office sometimes, those tasty videos.
They're the best.
Aren't they awesome?
Yeah, they're great.
Well, Dylan knows that I love watching those and I love to cook. So, Kevin, look what I got for Christmas.
Can I borrow that?
Yes.
That's great. Seriously.
Tasty cookbook.
It's a tasty cookbook. But you know the best part of this, Kevin? In fact, can you come out here and can you read this? Because I want someone who is not part of the family to read this. Pass this along to Kevin. Here, I'll put you on a mic over there. Because this was very exciting to me. Not only is it a tasty cookbook, there is a personalization on there.
Am I supposed to read that
now?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Merry Christmas, Mom. We can't wait to taste your restaurant-quality food using these recipes. We love you and your RQ food. That must mean restaurant quality.
Yep.
Love, Dylan, Michael, Dad, Tiki, Doc, and Marty.
So the even tortoises. The tortoises are in on that.
The tortoises.
But this was the greatest present ever, and thank you to Dilly Mac for coming up with that, because I love watching those tasty videos, and I got some good stuff in here, so I will share with Kevin. Salads and sides, there are appetizers, but personalized, so I'm very excited about it.
Absolutely, and it is the highest compliment that we pay you when you make your incredible meals for us. When it really is hitting the spot, we'll say, Mom, this is RQ. This is restaurant quality.
Do you know that is the nicest thing you could ever say to me? And Michael and Dylan are up here today, too. Hi, sons.
Hi, mums.
All right. So, Dylan, great job with picking out the present this year, because I'm not a very good present receiver. I appreciate your personalization.
Hi.
Do you not want to talk on the radio?
Was this on?
Yes. No, it's not been plugged in the whole day. That's what listeners were hoping. Well, thank you very much. And really, I can't tell you enough, whenever I cook, when I don't cook as much as I used to, the biggest compliment in the world that you guys can give me, you very well know.
Say it with me, Dylan. 3, 2, 1. RQ.
I love hearing that. Restaurant quality. It's RQ. The best thing ever. All right. So thank you very much for that. Personalized gifts are really something that mean a lot to people. So keep that in mind. Also, before we get out of here, I wanted to mention this to you, Jim. I like to, anytime there's news in the Star Wars universe, I like to break it to you, because you're always like, duh, I already know that.
Yeah,
we've already talked about that on Rebel Force Radio.
Comes across my desk, yes.
Do you know about this petition that fans have started to recognize Princess Leia as an official Disney princess?
I did hear about this.
Yeah. Did you really?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I mean, but let's face it, the Disney Corporation now owns Lucasfilm, and they own Star Wars. And the big thing for girls especially is the Disney princesses. There's the whole line of them. I don't know who they all are. I think Mulan is one.
I do. I know them all.
Yes, you have a young girl, Ryan. So who are the princesses? Well, the princi, if you will.
Well, there are a lot of them, right? I mean, you've got Ariel, you've got Belle, you've got Elsa and Anna now.
Boy, you do have them all.
Yeah.
All right. Well, fans have started an online petition in an effort to honor iconic Star Wars actress Carrie Fisher. Of course, Fisher passed away. I believe interment is today. The memorial service for her and her mother, Debbie Reynolds, was yesterday. It was private. The change.org petition asks for Fisher's Princess Leia character to be recognized as an official Disney princess. The petition says the honor is long overdue ever since Disney purchased the Star Wars franchise. They're asking Disney to reconsider their stance that only animated characters can officially be called Disney princesses.
Well, she's the best princess of them all, so she certainly should be enshrined. I guess, is that what they do? Is it like when you guys have the walk of fame thing? You know, they get out and have a big ceremony. I don't know how it works.
I believe they're canonized.
They are not.
25,000 people have already signed the petition, and go to change.org and look for Princess Leia to become an official Disney princess.
That would be very nice.
Jim, great tribute. Thank you so much for sitting in for Bill Left today. Mike Toomey will be coming in for the second half of the show. And Michael and Dylan, thank you for the awesome Christmas present. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Ryan. Have we hit 2,000 yet?
20,000 we have not hit. But in the meantime, since the last time we've spoken, the votes have been certified that Donald Trump and Mike Pence are the president and vice presidential nominees, officially certified. And we've had the shooting at the Fort Lauderdale airport. Multiple deaths reported, at least 9 people shot, and the shooter in custody. So we are monitoring all of that going on this afternoon. I'm sure Steve will have updates for you.
And need to go anywhere else, because we've got you covered here on WGN Radio. And Mike Toomey is sitting in Bill Left's place. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Are you asleep yet?
I'm not asleep. I'm fine.
You worked early this morning?
I got about 8 seconds in the green room, and you know that adds up. You get a minute here, you get 12 seconds there. It's good.
It's been a proven fact, and I have not witnessed it, but I have heard that Orion Samuelson has been known to, he has trained himself where he can sleep during like a 60-second commercial.
That's all right.
And wake up and come back with all the action.
With all the farm action.
Exactly.
Yes.
Hogs are down.
1 1/8.
Good. I'm glad to know you have trouble getting down that low as well.
1 1/8. How about that? Is that a little bit better at this time of day?
Yes. Mike Toomey, of course, you can watch him on WGN TV News in the morning. And Rich Lankoff is in the studio. I like to call you this show's personal attorney.
Yeah, whatever you need, you know, personal legal advice, anything and everything, I'm here for you.
I wish I got into more trouble because I don't really need an attorney that often.
But we all have a friend, and when I say friend, I'm doing the air quotes.
Exactly.
We have a friend who got into this situation.
Yes. Do people still say that? I have a friend, and they mean themselves?
Yeah, you know they do.
Prom date in Canada, that whole thing.
Yes. Now, you are half of Legal Face Off, the other half. Does it matter?
Really doesn't matter, but just, you know, to appease him, we'll throw his name out there, Jason Whiteside. He is the other half of Legal Face Off. We'll be taping our show momentarily here after we're done with Bill and Wendy.
Is he jealous that you're on our show?
You know, I think so. He doesn't like to admit it, you know, but I tell him that one day he'll graduate to the big leagues also. But,
oh, look at you. you can find Legal Face Off at WGNplus.com. And a lot of things in the news today. What do you want to discuss?
Yeah, lots going on. I mean, obviously the, you know, the kidnapping situation.
The hideous torture. I mean, it's just really terrible.
Yeah, we have Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark on our show here momentarily to discuss that video and its impact on, you know, the greater Chicago police issues going on. But yeah, I mean, no one who could watch that video could think that.
I couldn't watch it.
Yeah, pretty heinous. I mean, legally, what we're going to cover today is, you know, the definition of a hate crime. There's a lot of discussion about whether this qualifies as a hate crime.
May I just jump in for one second? A hate crime, in my opinion, is when you hurt someone, isn't there hate behind it all the time? If there is another definition of it, does that carry stricter penalties?
Yes, exactly so. In most states, including Illinois, there is stricter penalties for a crime involving racism or involving, if you're targeting a specific group, like in this case, obviously, the allegation is that this individual was targeted because he was white, and because he was challenged, he had a learning disability. On the video, we see the alleged perpetrators talk about that. So that gave,
and teasing him for his mental capacity.
Exactly. So that gave the state's attorney's office enough to charge him with a hate crime. And I don't think it'll be difficult to prove that ultimately at trial.
So you're saying more severe in terms of being more like a first degree type of a situation where they planned it out, they targeted their victim, and then they went and did it.
Yeah, that, and just, you know, even if there wasn't a lot of preparation, the mere fact that you're using those terms, that you're targeting someone because of their race or gender or, you know, sexual orientation, that could, in Illinois, as in most states, qualify it as a hate crime and therefore bring additional penalties.
What is so heartbreaking to me is all the reports that say he was supposed to go to a slumber party, a sleepover, I guess they called it. How old is this individual?
I think he's 18. 18 years old.
That's so sad to me that the parents would let this kid go with somebody thinking, you know, he's going to have a sleepover, everything's good, and look what happens.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, amazing the brazen way that these people, you know, not only did this crime, but
can
put it on.
Can you hold your thought
on,
for one
course,
second? Because
yes.
I believe we have a special report. We're going live to the newsroom with Ryan Burrow or Steve Bertrand.
Yeah, actually, Wendy, you know, we've been talking about this. Ryan broke this or started reporting the story about an hour or so ago. There has been a shooting at the airport in Fort Lauderdale, of course, this Friday, a busy travel day in winter in South Florida, and several people have been killed, many others injured in this shooting. It has prompted airport security officials around the country, at many airports at any rate, to increase security as well. There are reports that the suspect is in custody. It's not clear whether or not the suspect has been shot, but we'll get more now from ABC News.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Mark Remillard. Official sources tell ABC News that at least five people are dead following the shooting today at Fort Lauderdale's International Airport. No word on the number of those injured. The shooting at the airport's Terminal 2 occurred just before 1 p.m. Eastern today. Officials from Broward County also saying that a suspect is in custody. Again, ABC News has learned from officials that at least five people are dead following a shooting at the Fort Lauderdale International Airport today. A suspect taken into custody. I'm Mark Remillard. This has been a special report from ABC News.
And we will continue to follow that, Wendy and Mike, and have more coming up in the headlines at 1:30.
All right. Thank you for keeping us posted. No need to go anywhere else. We've got you covered here on WGN Radio. Back to a little closer to home, these four individuals who really beat and tortured this developmentally challenged 18-year-old. And to be, I heard a quote from Eddie Johnson, the police superintendent, saying, you know, we're happy these were dumb. They were dumb enough to post this live, Facebook Live. Why
yeah.
do people, like, they're not going to get caught?
Yeah, you know, I think it's like people are so desperate for their 15 minutes that
yeah.
they don't get that, hey, this is a significant crime. This is like among the most heinous things we've ever seen on Facebook or anywhere else. So you're going to get your fame for sure, but you're also going to get, you know, some significant time in jail for doing this.
Another Facebook case is in the news.
Yeah, FaceTime. There's a lawsuit involving Apple FaceTime, a very popular app that a lot of us use.
I get my faces mixed up.
yeah,
it's
they're
a
being
face crime.
They're being sued by a couple whose 5-year-old daughter was killed in a car crash. This happened when an SUV crashed into the back of their car, very high rate of speed. The driver, it's alleged, was using FaceTime at the time. So they're suing Apple, alleging that there is technology available to disable FaceTime while driving. This is, you know,
is that really Apple's fault?
Right.
Exactly. I mean, it's a great point. You know, there's a lot of lawsuits that we've seen. Snapchat, for example, has a feature that allows you to, you know, use it while you're driving. There's been lawsuits involving that. But, yeah, to your point, you know, a lot of this goes back to the responsibility of the individual.
Right.
Is it Apple's responsibility to police this application that, you know, millions of people use every day when it's clearly something that the driver was not being responsible when using?
Right.
So there's that, you know, discussion. Like we've talked about on your show, like we've talked about Legal Face-Off, you know, in this country, this is actually in Great Britain, you could sue anyone for anything. The question will be, of course, whether that survives in court, whether it survives an inevitable motion to dismiss.
I have a 17-year-old son who is not in a hurry to drive. I've mentioned this a bunch of times, and I got a letter from the high school saying he can't graduate until they have a certificate saying that he completed the driver's ed. He has 1 hour left, and the people at the driving school say, give him about 20 hours of practice, and then he'll do his last hour. And he took the class, so he will get credit. But he's, I don't know if he's necessarily afraid to drive, but there's something to be said, and maybe I put this fear in him. When you're driving down the road, you put a lot of responsibility in the car next to you to stay in their lane, yep, to not stop in front of you. So to think that somebody is FaceTiming while they're driving, bad enough texting, but I'm no wonder he's kind of scared.
Why do you want to be a part of that?
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, I mean, the question is always going to be, to what extent is Apple or anyone else who puts out this kind of application, to what extent are they aware of this happening? So, you know, it's sort of like a dog bite case in some extent. If you own a dog, you know, you sort of get one free bite.
Is that really true?
That's sort of the law with dog bites. That if you've got a dog, I mean, I don't want to put, you know, every dog owner
right
out there on
your
notice.
Your mileage
but,
may vary.
Yeah, you could get, you know, one free dog bite until you're put on notice that your dog may, you know, have a proclivity to biting people. Similarly, in these kind of cases, when you're alleging that a company is negligent, you have to prove as the plaintiff that they either were aware of the dangers or should have been aware. So as these kind of lawsuits continue, it will be, I think, harder for Apple to argue that they're not aware of this because now they're on notice. Now they're on notice that someone using FaceTime while driving, you know, that could be dangerous. Again, you should ask, well, isn't that obvious to most people? It is. But that's sort of the legal standard that they'll be dealing with.
April has a good point she'd like to make. April, real quickly before we take a break, go ahead.
Yeah, what if I'm the passenger and I'm on FaceTime and Apple is deciding to disable the app because they think I'm driving at a high rate of speed, but it's the driver, not me.
Right, that's, you're the passenger.
Why, you're in the car. Yeah.
Right, they should not be responsible for human behavior. We make our own choices. I don't know. I'm a teacher and I'm so tired of people blaming somebody else for their own dumb choices. I agree with you
and my partner on Legal Face Off, Jason Whiteside, who's a plaintiff's lawyer who brings a lot of these cases, would argue the other way. But I'm with you. I mean, I defend these kind of lawsuits all the time. You know, I work for a lot of companies like Apple, and I, you know, defend these cases based on the idea and basic logic, and thankfully the law is on my side, you know, most frequently that yes, you're responsible for your own behavior, that you shouldn't be able to sue a company like Apple simply because you're not using something responsibly. So, you know, I agree with you. Again, my partner, Jason, would disagree. But, yeah, I don't think this driver was using it properly. It's clear.
Not to make light of it, but if you had like a handheld game, you could be playing that in the car while you're driving. You shouldn't be, but you could be. You can't.
Pokemon Go. People were doing that.
Right.
April, thank you for your call. Are you back to school yet or are you still on break?
Monday.
The dreaded Monday.
It's been nice. So two more days after today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, April. We have to take a quick break. Mike Toomey is sitting in for Bill Leff. We are talking with Rich Lankoff from Legal Face Off. You can find that at WGNplus.com at 720 WGN. Mike Toomey, you're a basketball fan.
Yeah, all sports.
I have not jumped into the basketball arena. I did to play in high school, but I don't
you
watch
played
it.
Played in high school?
Yeah.
What position?
I was a forward.
Power forward?
Varsity freshman
scoring
year.
Threat. All mm-hmm. right. Really?
Thank you very much. Yes.
You play all 4 years?
3 years. Had knee surgery, and coach didn't ask me back because I had a hickey on my neck junior year. I don't know how that rolls. Where are your priorities?
I had the original Air Jordans, like the first.
Did you really?
The red and black. Yeah.
I was on my high school basketball team. Didn't play much, so they were in great shape at the end of the season. But I remember my mom. I grew up in Montreal. And my mom taking me to Sears. And even back then, the shoes were like $100. And this is, you know,
back then,
many
that
many
was
years
a lot.
Ago.
Yeah, I think they 84?
Yeah, right around then. Yeah. And she sprung for him, and I was like, you know, the best dressed guy on the end of the bench in terms of my shoes, but
nice
I wish
bookend.
I kept them. Yeah, oh yeah, they were great.
That voice you're hearing is Rich Lankoff. He's co-host of Legal Face Off, which you can find at WGNplus.com. Mike Toomey sitting in for Bill Leff. And I think we were talking about the FaceTime application. A 5-year-old child died, which is terrible news, in a car accident. And Apple is, what, being brought into it because the driver who hit them was using FaceTime?
Yeah. You know, again, we've seen many accidents where drivers are not paying attention and they are sued, which I think, you know, most people understand. In this case, the victim's family is alleging that Apple was negligent in not putting together a technology that would disable FaceTime when driving.
Jess wants to jump in here because, Jess, do you know a little bit more about this app?
Oh, yeah. I was just saying I understand the previous caller was saying that, you know, like, how can you just disable something? Like, what if you're the passenger in the car? And that makes perfect sense. But I was saying there's another app, Waze, which is, I don't know if you've heard of it.
Like Waze, yes.
Kind of Apple Maps. Yeah, and if you're driving it and you put in directions and you're driving your car, it immediately says, uh-oh, it seems like you're driving. Are you the passenger of the car? And, I mean, you could say yes or no, and I'm not going to lie. There's multiple times I've said yes, so I could continue with the map. But I feel like at least legally they're covering themselves. You know, they could have some sort of pop-up where it's at least an option instead of...
Are you operating heavy machinery at this time right now, yes or no?
Well, and in reality... Right. Apple did file a patent. It never followed through with it, but in 2008, they did file a patent that would allow just this from happening, and that's the key in this case. And like I talked about earlier in terms of notice, Apple is aware since 2008 that you can disable this function while driving. They just haven't acted upon it. So the key to the lawsuit will be, listen, you were aware of this. Certainly you're aware of the danger of it.
That kind of changes things, though.
Absolutely.
A little,
doesn't
it?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it goes back to the notice issue. If you're on notice that this is possible and you're on note and you're aware of the technology and you just choose not to do it, does that create liability for Apple?
Jess, thank you very much for calling. Where does this end, though? Can you, like, sue the iPhone? Well, I guess that's Apple as well.
Yeah, again, I think...
Instead of the application... You know, can you keep suing people that are remotely responsible for it?
Listen, do you sue fast food companies because there's drive-thrus and you could eat French fries while driving? Do you sue cosmetics companies because, you know, the person at the light next to you is putting on mascara and not paying attention?
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is all way too far. You know, you'll hear me on my show as a defense lawyer talk about how this is, you know, leading to the ruin of our society. I mean, that's a little dramatic, but... There's way too many lawsuits, right, in my opinion.
There's too many impairments. It's all forms of driving impairment.
Exactly, right? Exactly. Yeah. It goes back to personal responsibility. If you're driving while looking at someone on FaceTime, you're not being responsible. And if you hit someone, then you should be held responsible, not the company that, you know, puts together technology that allows you to do that, in my opinion.
Think about it. When we were learning to drive, and I know when you're on an expressway at an accelerated amount of speed, you cover a lot of territory in a short amount of time. But remember, like, clicking on the radio buttons or lighting a cigarette? You take your eyes off the road for a second, and now there are too many other things that can prevent you from keeping your eyes on the road.
Right. I mean, it all goes back to personal responsibility, in my opinion. You know, this is no different than exactly if you turn on the radio in a 1974, you know,
click.
Dodge Dart.
Right.
Ford Maverick. Of course.
Yeah, are you gonna sue, you know, the radio station, yeah. Right? I mean, it all goes back to responsibility. I don't think this lawsuit has a lot of merit, but like you've all seen, like we've seen a million times, lawsuits without merit go forward all the time.
Thank you so much, Rich Lankov. We can find him on Legal Face Off, and that is at WGNplus.com. And anything else you need to get in? How do people get in touch with you? What else?
Yeah, just check us out on Facebook and on WGNplus.com. We're taping our latest show today. It'll be released in a few hours.
When will it drop?
It'll drop. Depends on our trusty producers here at WGN, but
sometime today?
Later today, of course.
All right, perfect. Thank you so much. Mike Toomey sitting in for Bill Leff. I'm Wendy Snyder at 720 WGN. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it. Bill Leff is on vacation today. He returns on Tuesday. Sitting in his chair today. Bill's chair has been very busy.
It has been busy. And he's listening. Hi, Bill.
This is Mike Toomey. You know him. A friend of yours and a friend of yours, the listeners, from WGN-TV Morning News. Thank you for being with me today.
I'm so happy to be here.
What time did you get up this morning?
A little after 4. It's weird. For me, it's more about traffic because I don't have to be there as early as I am. But I'd rather sit there and do what I have to do than sit in traffic and,
yeah,
you know,
that's
if I'm
going
to be sitting somewhere, I'd rather be where I need to be.
I would rather drive 20 miles out of my way than just sitting there in stop-and-go traffic.
Right.
All right, I
it
agree.
It seems
with
like
you.
It's happening faster that way. It's not.
It seems like it. You trick your mind like that. Right. It works beautifully. Yesterday, Dean Richards, your coworker, sat in with me, and he had been up since 3. So I get you guys, although you don't look very tired.
I'm doing all right.
Wow. Second win, third win, fourth win?
I think it's... third wind.
Okay.
Which is, yeah, it's good.
All right. You're on the TV, but you don't necessarily watch a lot of TV, do you?
Currently, like as a kid, that's all I did.
Yeah.
But then now I don't.
No time.
Not so much as the, yeah, not the new current stuff.
Well, I like TV. I'm kind of getting back into it because this whole binge watching thing is really saving me. Someday I'm going to binge watch all of Mad Men.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen one episode of it. Oh, someday.
Yeah, you'll fall asleep.
I'll fall asleep. Kurt Wagner is on the line with us from TVshowpatrol.com. And Kurt, normally we talked to you earlier in the day, but let's just talk to you now. The Golden Globes are coming, and who's hosting it again? Which Jimmy?
Jimmy Fallon.
Which one do I like? I like them both.
Yeah, they're good.
Because he's on NBC.
I like Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah.
All right, okay. So this is happening Sunday night, January 8th, and this is all the world of television?
It's movies and TV.
All right.
You get a double dose. And this is the award show that is sometimes a little risque. They all drink openly at their table,
that's right.
Have their dinner and everything. And it can get a little crazy.
All right, Kevin, I don't mean to embarrass you, but off the air, Kevin asked me the joke of one of the, was it presenters who was kind of showing her Golden Globes? Oh. Was that last year? Was it Susan Sarandon? Do you guys remember this?
I think
this?
It was Jennifer Lopez. Was it Jennifer Lopez? And then
Lopez.
Co-presenter made a comment. About
right.
It. Yeah.
That's what it was. Kevin and I were talking about that off the air. Sorry I brought it on the air, Kevin.
I don't remember that, but okay.
I think it was a couple years ago, maybe.
All right. I have been getting into television a little bit more, thanks to you, Kurt. And when not, I go to TVshowpatrol.com and tool around because it's a great website. Why don't we talk about some of the shows that have been that are up for the award?
All right, well, best drama on TV, a show that we've talked about a lot, Stranger Things, is one of the nominees.
Love it. You've not seen that, Mike Toomey? You'd love it.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
Yeah, it's
I have more than one. You're not the first person to tell me I would like it
okay.
if I saw it.
So that's up, Westworld.
Hold your thought, Kurt. I'm sorry. We do have some breaking news.
I'm
sorry to interrupt. I want to go to live coverage of ABC. There are concerns that there might be a second incident going on in Fort Lauderdale.
Few minutes is officers with canine dogs circling the area. Officers with BSO going up and down the staircases, apparently looking for someone. As you can see right there, they're getting pedestrians off to safety. A lot of them fearing. We've seen people crying, people crouching, as you can see, under the staircase. We're still waiting to get confirmation as to exactly what happened here. We're hearing words that there is possibly another shooting incident, but again, we still have to get that confirmed by the Broward Sheriff's Office. But again, what you see is people being ushered off to safety here. Police personnel going up and down the staircases here. There are about seven floors at this particular garage. This is right in front of Terminal 2. Now, it's a standstill here. You cannot get in or out of this airport right now as police are trying to figure out what's going on and get a hold on this situation. Again, BSO sheriffs circling the perimeter here. We've even been told to get away from this area and to go inside Terminal 2 to safety. But right now, as you can see, the situation is centered at this garage area right in front of Terminal 2. Sheriffs with the BSO, Broward Sheriff's Office, ushering people to safety. You see right there a worker being taken away from this garage area. Again, traffic is a mess here. No one allowed in or out from what we are hearing. Again, the situation details slowly starting to trickle in. We're going to keep you posted as soon as we get any new details. But as you can see right there, passengers trying to get to their flights being ushered away to safety.
That is a reporter for ABC on the scene at the Fort Lauderdale Airport. And, I told you earlier that they had started allowing people to go through security to go back into the terminal, repopulate the terminal is the term that they used. And then word that the attention was focused and there was quite a rush to this parking lot. Now, I'll say one thing about that, Wendy and Mike, is that many times in cases like this, there are subsequent incidents that are prompted just by fear, by
right.
the fact that people's sensitivities are heightened and they call. So it's not clear that there's anything going on in this parking garage. Certainly, if it was at the magnitude of the airport terminal, the shooting by the baggage area, we would almost certainly know it by now. But I just wanted to bring that to you, the fact that they now have moved toward this parking garage and are looking for something there.
Can I tell you that this is the first time I have heard that reporter honestly sound completely panicked in her report?
Well, she was probably a local reporter from South Florida who's working with the network today. I don't know. I mean, I think it's a difficult thing when you are trying to convey what's going on.
She did a great job doing it.
Clear what's going on,
and they've said that they should not be present either. So it did sound like you don't know what's going on, but it sounded like, you know, she was in danger. It's just unfortunately we're hearing more about this each and every day. Steve, thank you for keeping us posted, and jump in anytime you need to.
Sure thing.
Appreciate it. Kurt Wagner, talk about TV drama. This is real life drama that's going on right now. So let's get a couple more of these in case we need to break in again. The Golden Globes are taking place this Sunday, January 8th on NBC. It'll be hosted by Jimmy Fallon. Some of the best TV drama. You mentioned Stranger Things. What are some of the other shows up for
Golden Globes? This is Us, The Crown, which is the British thing about Queen Elizabeth. Game of Thrones, which had the great season 6. What else? Oh, you know, I think
this
Winona
is us.
Ryder's nominated for Best Actress for Stranger Things, and I think she has a good chance of winning because the Golden Globes always seems to like in underdogs and young people. She's not the young person anymore, but she's kind of an underdog. So she's probably got a good chance to win as Best Actress in a drama for TV.
This Is Us is also part of it, and Westworld.
And Westworld is in there. There's a lot of actors from Westworld nominated. Thandie Newton is nominated for Best Supporting Actress. Who else? Evan Rachel Wood is nominated for Westworld as a Best Actress nominee. TV comedy and musical, Atlanta, which is on FX. Blackish, the ABC comedy. Mozart in the Jungle is an Amazon thing. Transparent, also on Amazon. And Veep.
I've watched two episodes of Veep. Mike, I'm starting to think you and I just don't watch TV anymore.
I'm thinking, at what point do I just lie and said I have seen it so that I don't, like, he doesn't watch anything.
Well, yeah. Can we all agree that did you watch The People versus O.J. Simpson?
I did watch that.
Okay, so did I, and so did you, Kurt, and that's up for a bunch of awards.
Yep, that's probably going to win for miniseries, best miniseries, and it may take home some of the acting categories as well.
Is Travolta up for a Golden Globe? Because he deserves it, man.
He is for Best Supporting Actor.
Did you like that one?
Who, me?
That
show, yes, I did. And we've had lots of conversations about Travolta seemed to be in a different show. He seemed to be in a comedy while everybody else was in it.
I know, and it was so, like, over the top. Bill and I talked about this a lot, and with Kurt. It was so over the top, but then at some point it came to, like, you expected it, and it was appropriate for the show. Robert Shapiro.
It just seemed to me they sort of forced the Kardashian contingent.
Yeah, that was
like,
so stupid.
What are you doing in my daughter Kim Kardashian's room? You know, like, stop it. She was.
And they showed them as children too, which was kind of just. Yeah. I think that was a little bit extra that didn't necessarily need to be in there, but there's a lot of shows this season. I think a lot of new shows like that Insecure on HBO and Donald Glover's Atlanta that have good chances of winning awards. So it's going to be an interesting night.
Bill Left turned me on to something that I want to share with everyone, and I think there are only 8 episodes, Mike, so maybe you can binge on this. Mm-hmm. It's called The Night Of. Kurt, I know you've been talking about it for a while. John Turturro is in it, executive produced by James Gandolfini. It was his last project. It's really fantastic, Kurt. I have caught up on that thanks to Bill, you know, bugging me. You got to watch this. Mm-hmm. You got to watch this.
Yeah, it's about this guy who's accused of something, and it's sort of his road to justice or injustice. And it is nominated also under the TV miniseries or movie.
And that's The Night Of, and all of these episodes take place around that particular night in question. And then Bill told me to watch The OA, too, which I just started watching, which is very good as well.
I haven't watched that either, but I've heard very mixed reviews about that. I heard that the final payoff isn't worth the whole time spent on it, but
I'm on episode 2.5, so I'm kind of just beginning, but so far I'm liking it.
All right. Well, there you go. Yeah, but there's a lot of stuff coming up through this in January that should be interesting. TVs, they're just rolling stuff out like crazy. It's just like every day there seems to be a new a new show coming out. So you got plenty of things to watch.
Do you think there are going to be any upsets with winners for the Golden Globes?
I think that there will be some, probably some surprises. I think, you know, Sarah Jessica Parker's nominated for Divorce, which I think it will be surprising if she wins, but, you know, rumblings are that she will win because she hasn't been there in a while.
Right.
Sex and the City. But I'm never surprised about anything that happens at the Golden Globes, to tell you the truth. They're voted on by the Hollywood Foreign Press, and there's always been some controversies about the favors handed out before the show to see who, you know, to see who might win, you know, to sway the votes.
Can we find out your picks if we go to TVShowPatrol.com?
Yeah, I can put them up there. I don't have them up there now.
All right, we'll put them up there. And are we ever going to see you live in the flesh again?
Someday, hopefully.
All right. Well,
settle down.
All right. Well, Happy New Year. Thank you for talking to us, Kurt Wagner. You can go to TVShowPatrol.com. You do a great job on your website. We really appreciate it, Kurt.
Thank you.
Happy watching, as I like to say. I've never said that to him before ever in my life. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to keep you up to date on what's going on at the Fort Lauderdale Airport. We've got you covered here on 720 WGN. Thank you, Steve. You are definitely earning your pay today. Live news as it happens. We've got you covered here on WGN Radio. We are awaiting a call from ABC News correspondent Mark Remillard, who has been providing audio for you, Steve. And he may be running late and busy. We're also going to talk to John Hansen, you mentioned, who is at Midway right now on his way to Fort Lauderdale. I don't know. Am I a scaredy cat? Would I cancel my vacation?
I don't think he's going to get there today. Do you?
I don't know. The airport is, it's not business as usual. It's
right.
Yeah. And you know, there've been these renewed searches now at other parts of the airport and several of them. And again, I want to say that while police continue to check out reports of gunfire and suspicious activity in other parts of the airport, as far as we know, there have not been any sort of confirmed incidents. Right now, police just sort of chasing reports, but that is slowing things up quite a bit. They had started to kind of resume operations and allow people back into the terminal.
But when do you stop looking for odd behavior? Because now, as you mentioned, everyone's on high alert. Anything that looks funny,
right?
I can't imagine it getting back to business today.
Well, clearly they thought they were in a position where they could. We'll see now if they will. And, you know, Hansen's been watching it at Midway, and they put him on a plane. And they put him, I don't know if you have John on, but they put him on the airplane well after the incident took place with the idea that they were going to take off. When the secondary scares started coming up, I think that's when they started allowing people to deplane, the people at Midway and elsewhere.
Mark Remillard is going to be on the air with us, but he has been delayed, so we're trying to get hold of John Hansen right now, which kudos to John Hansen. He is on vacation, obviously trying to get on a plane and out to Fort Lauderdale. And always the newsman, aren't you, John Hansen? Thank you for calling in. What's going on right now?
Well, when we boarded the flight, surprisingly, everyone was kind of standing around. We were watching coverage of the shooting at Midway. We're flying to Fort Lauderdale, of course, and we were all watching this coverage and wondering why the heck we were even getting on the flight. As we were boarding, everyone at once kind of got a text message from Southwest letting them know that we were going to be delayed at least an hour. Everyone continued with the boarding, and then the pilot kind of came on with a cryptic message. And obviously, I don't know where you guys are at with confirming this. We're still kind of out of the loop here at the airport, but that there was reports of a second situation going on and that we were free to get off the plane. The plane is still scheduled to leave at 3:30, but obviously we don't know anything yet. Southwest doesn't have any information. Just a lot of people kind of staring at each other strangely. It's a very surreal situation to be at the airport looking at what's going on the television.
John, I can tell you that there apparently now is a research of the entire airport in Fort Lauderdale, that police are going through it in a grid-like system. People that are come upon by the police are putting their hands in the air being checked. So they are doing a thorough recheck that likely will take some time at Fort Lauderdale.
And then, and I don't think anyone's expecting to get out of it at the same time, which is almost surprising and shocking and gave me my heart a jolt. My younger brother and his wife flew before us earlier today. So we were sitting at one of the restaurants here at Midway when the alert came. And at that point, I didn't know anything. But luckily, my brother and his wife had already left the airport. But they're down there waiting for us now. So, yeah, I mean, obviously, to be inconvenienced by this is the lesser of the concerns, of course. But everyone's just kind of waiting, watching the television.
I'm wondering what your co-passengers, your fellow travelers, how they're reacting.
Well, I think it's just shock. I think it's a lot of people saying, here we go again. Will this change anything? I know some of the flight attendants were kind of shaking their heads, talking to some of the passengers. They're trying to make light of the situation, but they're trying to keep everyone happy. But one of the flight attendants, this is an airport we fly to all the time. It's a Southwest hub. There are a lot of cruisers down there. But flight attendants pick up their bags at the same baggage claim areas that we do. And they're there once, twice, three times a week, some of them. And they are just kind of eyes open as we all wait to hear what's next.
And we had mentioned before that this shooting, I believe, Steve, you mentioned it took place in the baggage area. And something I never really thought of is that just goes out to the street. So if somebody pulled up on the outside to pick up a passenger, they could technically walk in. There's no security. You could go just in to pick up a bag or do whatever it is you want to do. So that's where it happened, in the baggage area. I mean, you're still going on with your trip, obviously, John.
Yeah, and this is, again, it's not the most important thing, but, now we're all concerned because, we're going on a cruise, so it leaves at a specific time tomorrow, and so everyone's kind of talking to people. I mean, it's just a strange situation. The plane is still sitting there. Some passengers are on the plane waiting. Our bags are on the plane, so we don't know whether we should think ahead, and I already looked on my phone. All the flights tomorrow are already sold out. I'm already starting to look at what the parking situation is at the Port Everglades down there. Should we drive down there? There's just no word yet on what's going on, obviously. And, can credit Southwest Airlines. I mean, they have no clue. They wouldn't know the specifics. So just a lot of confused people, worried people. And I think the mood is just, I can't believe this has happened again.
So it's not panic. It's more just disbelief.
Right. I think it's disbelief. No one is saying, oh, gosh, poor us. I think it's, as you would expect, maybe from busy holiday travelers getting ready for a big vacation or something. But yeah, it's just a lot of people looking around. It's very strange in this day and age that we're sitting on an airplane on Twitter. Everyone's on Twitter reading the situation. You're starting to hear these unconfirmed reports. Everyone's talking to each other. And then the pilot comes on with that chilly message. Obviously, we're all safe here in Chicago, but it's a rather surreal situation.
And obviously, Southwest took you off the plane, and they did give you some kind of announcement. But the only news you're getting right now is as you're sitting in Midway Airport watching the TVs in the terminal, correct?
Yeah, we're just watching the TVs in the terminal. And again, they didn't tell everyone to come off the plane. They said, you're welcome to stay on, stay off. The pilot said, we don't know when we're leaving. We don't know if we're leaving today. So a lot of people trying to rebook. I know the flight attendant said that some people went right to the counter, asked to get their bags off the plane. And I actually, we're just getting an announcement now. It looks like they're saying that they're going to start taking some of these bags off some of these planes. So I don't know if we're going to be going anywhere anytime soon.
I hope you get to your destination and make it on your cruise, but most importantly, we hope that you get there safely, John. And kudos to you for having your phone charged and enough to call us and give us this information, because everybody's phone runs out of power when you're at the airport waiting for a flight, especially delayed like you were.
Wendy, I'm sitting at a packed power station with about 8 other people crowded around me, so I'm one of the last ones to power in. So I'll be here for some time.
All right, John, keep us posted, and we will do the same for you. We appreciate you checking in.
Thanks, Wendy.
John Hansen, live from Midway Airport, awaiting a flight to Fort Lauderdale, where a shooting has taken place, and they are checking the whole airport as we speak. We'll keep you posted as soon as we find out more information. I didn't know if somebody was saying anything. No. Okay. We'll keep you posted, and more information as it develops right here, 720 WGN. It's Wendy Snyder here along with Mike Toomey from WGN TV Morning News. And Mike, we don't have a lot of time to goof around today.
Yeah, it's something, what are you going to do, though?
I know. Yeah. Breaking news. And we go live to ABC News correspondent Mark Remillard. How are you, Mark?
Very good.
All right. We have talked to one of our employees, a WGN employee, who is stuck at Midway trying to board a flight to Fort Lauderdale, and they were taken off the plane. Some people are getting their luggage removed and no word on when service will continue. What's the latest in Fort Lauderdale, Florida at the airport?
Yeah, operations at Fort Lauderdale are suspended at this time. Flights are not arriving or departing from the airport. The FAA has put in a ground stoppage there. This is also after we've received reports from local and federal officials that there may have been actually additional shots fired, Terminal 1 and 4 and in the parking garage. So we're working to obviously confirm those details. At this time, there are no reports of other victims at this time. But what we do know from the earlier shooting, which happened just before 1 o'clock Eastern time, 5 people dead, 8 injured in this shooting. Law enforcement has confirmed to ABC that that shooter has been identified as Esteban Santiago. He was carrying a military ID at the time and was taken into custody, now talking with police, obviously, but a very scary situation down there. Hundreds of people in one of the busiest terminals at this airport evacuated. Some people told to stay on the plane after they were landing when these shots rang out. And again, obviously, the 5 people being killed, 8 people taken to local hospitals.
And this was in the baggage claim area of Fort Lauderdale Airport?
That's right. This occurred in the baggage claim. The TSA made sure to make it clear that this did not occur on the other side of security. No one got a gun through security and the shooting occurred. This occurred in the public area, the baggage claim area of this terminal, which is the lower level. And as I said, one of the busiest terminals. So there could have been a lot of people down there grabbing their bags at the time, waiting for their loved ones or their friends to get off of these flights. And so this is certainly an area that was this gunman. We don't know whether he walked into the terminal, was waiting around in the terminal. We don't know exactly how this occurred quite yet.
And I know you're gathering information as all this develops, but yes, no word yet on whether this Esteban Santiago was a passenger on any flight or that he just walked in.
Yeah, nothing yet. We don't know exactly how this occurred. Like, as I said, whether he walked into the terminal, as you said, was a passenger on a flight somehow and had a weapon or got a gun into the terminal. We really don't know, and we also don't know at this time either. We have no word or clue yet on what the motive may have been, what sparked this incident. We don't know if this was terrorism-related. We don't know if this was a workplace violence incident or anything like that. So we just really don't have any of those details available at this time.
And what's the scene now if you're watching on TV, which we are with no sound? You see people running across the runways and officers with guns drawn. What is going on at this particular moment? Are they searching every area of the airport?
Right. And from what we understand, because we've gotten these reports of additional shots fired in Terminal 1 and 4 and in the parking garage, certainly law enforcement is responding to those areas. They're searching those areas to either confirm that shots were in fact fired, and if there were, what was the circumstances of those additional shots being fired. Again, no other victims being reported, but certainly law enforcement going around to secure the entire airport, which is shortly after this shooting occurred. Originally, the reports was that this wasn't going to have that major of an impact on flight operations, but certainly as we've gotten these additional reports of shooting, as this has turned into a series of multiple fatalities, law enforcement and the FAA has now put that ground stoppage into effect. But certainly the situation, even though the suspect is in custody with additional reports fired, still a very active situation for law enforcement to be searching this airport, to be going through these terminals and making sure that there are no additional suspects. The mayor of Broward County said that this was a lone shooter, but again, this is before we've gotten these additional reports.
And as Steve Bertrand in the newsroom pointed out, a lot of times when something like this happens, people are a little skittish, and any different activity could be reported as this second situation. When do we get it all clear? This could continue all night.
Yeah, certainly that is what can occur, and we've seen that in the past, be it from other active shooter situations, or even when we've seen incidences of bombings, places, acts of terrorism, people obviously becoming very afraid, and sometimes hearing things that aren't actually occurring,
right.
Hearing possible extra gunshots or extra explosions, these kinds of things. So we are working obviously to figure that out, but this will be all part of the process as law enforcement goes through these terminals. They go through obviously to secure the scene at Terminal 2, but to go through 1 and Terminal 4 and then the parking garage. This is an airport. There's a lot of space, and so there's a lot that they'll have to go through to check this. But once they get through that, that's when we would hopefully receive the all clear and hopefully learn that there were no other shots and no other victims.
Very difficult to find a needle in a haystack, especially if you don't know if there's more than one needle. Pretty difficult. Yeah. Thank you very much for checking in with us. We appreciate it. ABC News correspondent Mark Remillard. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's pretty scary out there. Yeah. I'm not a good traveler to begin with. I don't like the flights. It makes me very nervous. But now, you know, the airport, I don't really mind being delayed. Right. I don't mind taking my shoes off. I will do whatever it takes to ensure safe flying. But I never really thought about that baggage end of things.
No. And you get to a point where you think, okay, everything's so okay now.
Because right.
They have over what you would say, oh, they're really overdoing it at this point, but they're not.
And that,
and
you know.
Now there's another hole to crawl through.
And
you know?
How many times do you feel that sense of relief, whether it's you're going to a vacation destination or you've just arrived home and you've made the flight and everything's cool and you're just waiting for your bags. And yep. Then it's like, okay, maybe it's a little delayed. The carousel's not moving. But there is some sense of relief that, woo, I made yep. it through everything.
It's all done.
Well, if you remember the attack last year in Turkey involved
yes.
vehicles driving up to the outer area. And at the time they talked about extending the security perimeter, and I'm sure there will be people talking about that now. The problem is that no matter where you extend the perimeter to, there still is an area just outside the perimeter that will be slow for people to get into, so they'll be gathering just at another spot.
As someone who has smoked in the past, and you get through security and you can't have a cigarette anymore, perhaps it should be like that in the baggage mm-hmm. pickup area as well, where people can't be coming and going. It's like you have to wait till you get your baggage, and once you've left the baggage area,
so you're talking
you're
about
out.
Ticketed customers only just to get into the
Well, I don't know how you
terminal.
Do it, and again, that's more people that would be...
But don't you see, Wendy, the point then is you only move the target to the outside doors, because that's where people will be waiting and congregating. You're
yeah,
only you're only moving the area where people are going to be gathered.
Yeah, but I guess I've never really, I'm too trusting.
Yep.
I never thought of anybody coming in through the outdoor
right.
in the baggage claim department. All right. Well, Steve, thank you for keeping us up to date on things. And I'm sure we're going to have more developments. And I'm betting that John Hansen does not make it there in time for his cruise.
It's even if they got it squared away this very moment.
Right.
I mean, think about how backed up they are now at this point.
Because a complete shutdown
all
now.
All the flights that didn't leave, didn't come in. I mean, it's going to be a while.
It is going to be a while. All right, 312-981-7200. It's Mike Toomey in for Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder here at 720 WGN. Fantastic job, Steve Bertrand. There's a lot of information coming through the newsroom right now. Steve is doing a great job juggling it. Mike Toomey, I asked you to come in and sit in for Bill Leff because, you know, I thought we could play around on
sure.
a Friday afternoon, and we can't really play around right now.
Things happen.
Yeah, I know. And Steve, I'm confused on something, and you may not know the answer to this, but you have reported that one other news service has reported that this man was a passenger.
The Associated Press is reporting that the man was a passenger on the flight, and they say that it was a Canadian flight, so someone who came in from Canada, checked a gun in a bag, and then loaded it in the bathroom. Let me read you exactly. We have just one sentence from them.
Okay.
It says, official, colon, Fort Lauderdale airport shooter, a passenger on Canadian flight, checked gun in bag and loaded it in a bathroom. Now, there are blanks there to be filled in. So if you'll allow me to make some assumptions here, it sounds as if it's a reasonable assumption that they are saying that this passenger, this shooter, may well have been a passenger on the flight that the victims flew in on, that he landed, retrieved his bag, went into a bathroom, loaded the gun, which was in the retrieved bag in the bathroom, and came out shooting. That seems to be what the Associated Press is reporting. Again, and I'm getting a little bit more just in from the Associated Press. A county official says the Fort Lauderdale airport shooter pulled a gun out of a checked bag, loaded in a bathroom, and started shooting, killing five people and wounding at least eight. Chip LaMarca, who is a Broward County commissioner, was briefed on the airport shooting by the sheriff's office. He told the Associated Press by phone that the shooter was a passenger on a Canadian flight and had checked a gun. LaMarca says the shooter pulled out the gun in the bathroom after claiming his bag. Sheriff Scott Israel says the gunman was not harmed and that law enforcement did not fire any shots. So what's not explicitly written there is that whether or not this man, the suspect, was on the same flight as his shooting victims. But they are saying that he flew into Fort Lauderdale today and had in his bag a checked gun.
Which is, my question is, I didn't know you could check firearms, and
I believe you can if they're not loaded and they're not checked. I'm not an expert on that, but
right. But that's my question. I know you couldn't carry it on. I know musicians check guitars. I'm thinking if a gun collector is traveling to another place, maybe you can check a gun, but it can't be loaded. Can you bring ammunition in? To me that is just confusing.
You know, you'll have to hear from someone who knows more about it. It seems to me that it's more likely that ammunition would be banned than would an unloaded gun be banned.
Kathy, do you know more about this?
No, I don't. But all I do know is I can't bring my 6-ounce container of makeup gel,
right,
and yet somebody can bring a gun on the plane. I'm sorry. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're military. Thank you for serving our country. But forget it. You can't carry a gun on an airplane.
Yeah, Kevin, you have gone to TSA.com or whatever.
Yeah, TSA.gov. It says you may transport unloaded firearms in a locked, hard-sided container as checked baggage only. Declare the firearm and or ammunition to the airline when checking your bag at the ticket counter. The container must completely secure the firearm from being accessed. Locked cases that can be easily opened are not permitted.
Just seems like a big loophole. Like, it makes you wonder, like, how did this not happen before at some time? Right?
And if it has to be locked, who cares? This probably was locked. He has the key.
He had the gun. He had the ammunition.
He went in the bathroom and loaded it. It seems, and who's at fault there? I don't know. I really don't know. This is really strange. There were some texts saying that, the news source is another news source, which Steve pointed out, AP News is now saying he was on a...
Well, they're not just saying it. They're naming the official who told them, which is significant. I mean, this isn't an anonymously sourced story or a background source story.
It's we basically know confirmed.
The guy standing up and saying, this is what I was told.
All right. Brian is on the line with us. Brian, you checked a gun?
Hey, Wendy. Yeah, I drove to San Diego with my brother, and then I flew back, and we drove down by the border, so I made sure I had my firearm with me. And on the way back, I had to check it in. I had to clear it and make sure there was no ammunition in it. And they actually... it was a locked box, and they put it in the cockpit. Sometimes they put them down below, but as long as it's empty and you have proper documentation and your licenses, it's okay.
But you can bring ammunition then as well, because who cares?
No, you cannot bring ammunition on a plane whatsoever.
So how did they get the ammunition in?
You cannot check. You cannot check it either.
I think he had it with him. And when he got to his luggage, he opened it up and just slammed a clip home and racked it, and he started firing.
Okay,
well,
and how do you get...
I want to be careful there. That's not been reported anywhere. The idea was what they're saying is that he loaded it out of his bag. Are you saying you cannot check ammunition either, or just can't bring it
not
in the cabin?
All. No, it's an explosive, and you can't have that on an airplane whatsoever.
Yeah.
How did he?
I don't know.
If you can't have a Samsung phone because of a battery fire, I don't know how you can bring bullets.
Absolutely. Right. Brian, thank you very much for a call. And let's take a quick break here and some other listeners. And I know there are gun owners there that have to be able to transport their guns. I am positive, and as we've heard, it has to be unloaded and locked. But then can you check ammunition separately? It doesn't seem like you'd be able to do it. You're sending your gun on your trip with you. You can get ammunition wherever you are when you land, correct?
You get off the plane with the gun and the ammo.
Yeah, that doesn't seem right. All right, it's 720 WGN. I am flummoxed here, if that's a good word. I am not a gun owner. I don't want to be a gun owner. If you want your gun, that's your business. I said, well, why can't you check the gun and get your ammunition somewhere else? You can get it only in the state that you have registered in. So that's the answer to that question.
People are saying they have to be separate, the gun from the ammo, but yet he put the two together when he got off the plane.
That's a good point. Tim, you have checked a weapon and ammunition, and you can check both. They just can't be together?
Well, they have to be in the same hard-sided container, but the magazine can't be loaded into the weapon. It has to be either on its own with tape over the top of a magazine, or it has to be in the original container that the ammunition came in. but they both have to be locked in the hard-sided container.
And, Mike, your question that you said to me off the air is a great one. Why hasn't this happened before if you're able to fly with the two pieces to the puzzle? Granted, they're separated, but then you go pick up your bag, and you go in the bathroom.
This is what he did.
I mean, it's no different than if somebody came into baggage claim that brought it in from the outside. I mean, it's...
Right, but this person went through security at his where he got on board.
But he checked it.
Yeah, because what happens here in the States is that when I check my bag, I have to declare it at baggage check-in. Then they walk me over to TSA. TSA puts my bag through the X-ray machine, and it shows it so that they can see that the weapon is not loaded and that the ammunition is secured like it's supposed to be. If it's not, then the bag doesn't go.
And then when you have finished your flying and you get off the flight and you go to baggage pickup to pick up your luggage with the gun and the ammunition separate, there's no one escorting you there to make sure. I just feel like there's a missing end of it.
No, I guess they do kind of on the honor system that when you pick up your bag, it's just going to be you're going to take your bag and go. I mean, this will be another obstacle for everybody who wants to carry a gun legally and, you know, be law abiding. But,
you know, if you have luggage that is too big to fly, or my son flew with his guitar and it was like a weird thing, so it you had to go pick it up after the flight landed, it wasn't on the carousel. Why can't it be like that for ammunition and guns, where you, I know it's a hassle for you, the gun owner, Tim, but you'd have to show some identification to claim your bag with that ammunition and that gun in it. So right there, people have your information.
Well, you might see that happening now.
I am shocked it hasn't been happening before. Yeah. Tim, thank you for the information. Be safe flying, all right?
Thank you.
I am shocked this has not happened. Really, a guitar. You've had hair gel confiscated, and how did you live after that?
Right. It was too big of a container, and they said, nope, this can't go.
I don't understand it. Oversized objects or weird things like a guitar. Mm-hmm. My son had to go with his identification to this specific area and say, you know, hey, can I get my guitar? Mm-hmm. That's mine. Maybe he didn't have to show identification, but it's not like you could just, what if there was a machine gun in it? He didn't just pick it up off the carousel, load it. I just, this is crazy. All right, Lou, I think we have time for one more call, and that's you.
Hey, yeah, thanks for taking the call. I worked at FedEx Express for 29 years, and I know on commercial flights, they could transport ammunition under what they call an ORM, which is the other regulated material. And as long as the paperwork is filled out like that, then it can be checked in.
But what about the checking out part? You can just go to the carousel and pick up the ammunition and the gun, and if you wanted to, go in a bathroom and load it?
No, they're supposed to be, those items are supposed to be taken to one of their desks, and you're supposed to have a special ticket for it to show that you did claim the firearm and your ammunition is listed as ORM.
All right, well, thank you for that information. Someone has texted us, guns are checked by TSA, unloaded. Ammunition can be in the same case, but not in the weapon. It must be in a locked hard case. But it's not like a locked case from the person who owns
it.
You can
still access it.
Yeah. I think there needs to be some addendum to this travel safety. All right. Well, we will continue to cover this story. I believe John Hansen, who checked in from WGN Radio. Kevin, he said his flight has been canceled.
Yeah. Excuse me. From Steve Bertrand, he let me know that he is now on a flight to Orlando.
To try and make his cruise.
Yeah, make whatever he's making.
But, you know, we're finding out more information, and at this point they're still not open at Fort Lauderdale. That has still been shut down. Everything's closed there. More on that as it develops. We'll keep you posted. Mike Toomey from WGN TV News has been with me. You've been really funny this afternoon.
Well, I try.
I wanted to play around with you on a Friday afternoon, but
and that didn't work out
that
way.
No, real life got in the way. So, all right, we'll check your bags on the way out, and thank you very much for coming in, and have a fantastic weekend.
Thank you for having me.
You didn't even get to talk.
No, it's me.
Will you come back some other time, Bill's on vacation?
We have to now.
All right, we'll make it a date. All right, we'll check in with Rokon and Anna DeVlantes next, 720 WGN.